This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. President Bush says he'll carefully review the final report of the special 9/11 commissioners when it's released this week.
I look forward to seeing those recommendations. They share the same desires I share, which is to make sure that the president and the Congress gets the best possible intelligence.
The report says both the Bush and Clinton administrations could have done more to fight terrorism. Sources say the commissioners don't answer the question of whether or not the 9/11 attacks could have been prevented. They recommend a cabinet-level post to coordinate U.S. intelligence. Guerrilla fighters in Iraq have killed a top defense ministry official. He died in a drive-by attack in Baghdad. Insurgents have been targeting members of the new Iraqi government. An ambitious project for law enforcement officials in Britain. They plan to interview every convicted killer in the country, about 5,000 people. Investigators hoping to create the definitive file on why people kill. One detective says if this saves just one life, it'll be worth it. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
Caesar, begin dragon-style kata! Raise paws, tiger strike! Again! Kokuzo! Heart pumping? Hey! Lift high in the quarter, roundhouse kick!
Cats don't have cardio kickboxing. That's why they have Iams, with seven essential nutrients for a strong, healthy heart.
Beast the fluffy son, Coco-san, fight!
Nourish every heartbeat, love every bite. Iams, good for life.
Break it up!
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Lincoln and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous inspection of up to 141 points. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000 mile limited warranty coverage and 24 hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by September 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Things are easing up coming out of the mousetrap at the noon hour. Centrix Financial Grand Prix of Denver with the information. Earlier accident southbound at 38th. Earlier stall at 16th Street. Both out of the way now. So traffic moving along a little bit better. Probably another 10 or 15 minutes or so. Everything will be back to normal. Wadsworth and Virginia traffic lights aren't working, so use caution approaching that intersection. Don't miss the Financial Grand Prix of Denver, sponsored by Centrix. It's the fastest 3 days of the summer, August 13th through the 15th. Tickets available at Ticketmaster or call 303-830-TIXS. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Lock us in on your first preset. AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC. Join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free t-shirts for your employees.
Well, that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC t-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live on Saturday mornings 10 to noon. During our beautiful Colorado summers, we love to shop al fresco.
She means outdoors. And our favorite place to shop is Aspen Grove, located in Littleton on Santa Fe at Mineral. Aspen Grove is a beautifully landscaped open-air shopping center with the finest of national specialty shops and restaurants, many that are exclusive to the Denver metro area.
The Gap at Aspen Grove is the only Gap in Colorado that carries maternity clothes.
And don't miss the only Carolee Boutique. We love their distinctive handbags and contemporary jewelry. Freshen up your home decor for the summer season at Kirkland's, Pottery Barn, and Bombay.
Shopping at Aspen Grove means you can park right in front of your favorite store. It also means that if you're shopping with Judy, she won't be complaining.
Hey, I'm not the whiner in this duo. Aspen Grove is located on Santa Fe at Mineral in Littleton near the light rail station. Open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6.
Aspen Grove, where life meets style.
To win at anything, you have to be smart.
Long-term responsibility.
You have to be strong, and you have to be prepared.
The United States of America.
When it comes to the coverage of Decision 2004, no station is smarter or better prepared to cover from all sides.
Ongoing operations in Iraq. The connected and the elected.
Your source for Kerry versus Bush. AM 1150, KNRC.
The American people will be deciding this election.
Ever wanted to cycle with a Tour de France competitor? On July 24th, join Ron Kiefel from the Kiefel Cycling Hour along with KNRC staff as they hit the road and ride for troubled youth. Don't pass up the chance to test your skills against cycling's elite. Join KNRC at Wheat Ridge Cyclery on July 24th, 3 p.m. for a 20-mile jaunt to Golden. Call KNRC today. Reserve your spot at 303-296-7025. Minimum donation $25 and 100% of all funds raised will go to Lost and Found, Inc., providing troubled youth hope, healing, and a place to grow.
Talk to Doug Kellett.
Well, let's talk a little bit about John Edwards, because I know some of you are so giddy about the fact that John Kerry, by email today, which is something unusual, something new, named John Edwards as his vice presidential candidate. The thing that occurred to me at the beginning and still kind of rolls through my head is the old song, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, where it says, don't trust your soul to an old backwoods southern lawyer. Because that's what John Edwards is.
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A mix of sun and clouds through the afternoon, isolated showers and thunderstorms through this evening, scattered storms on Tuesday and Wednesday, and by the middle of the week, we'll be at risk for severe weather. We should top out around 91 for the high today, and then drop to 61 for the overnight low. Low 90s again on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, highs in the upper 80s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, I guess. Wait, maybe I should start this way. I'm Enid Goldstein, and I have personally approved this program. 303-382-1150. Well, I have. I'm the logging industry. I personally approved this program. I'm personally beholden to George W. Dickey Bush. I want to thank the people at Taste of the Nation and Pat Miller. She did a great job. I was there yesterday. This was Sunday, and I have to tell you, they had tons of booths set up, tents set up for various restaurants. If you've never gone, and think about doing it next year. First of all, it is a wonderful event. The restaurants that are set up, there are various tents that are set up. They donate the food, so you get to taste what the restaurants offer. And so it's good promotion for the restaurants, and it's also a wonderful contribution. And all the money goes, or most of it anyway, goes to feeding the hungry. The money goes to the Rocky Mountain Food Bank and other groups that feed the hungry, and so it's a good investment. And I saw a lot of people there. Penny Parker was there from the Rocky Mountain News. I saw Ellen Sweets there, who writes about food for the Denver Post, and she's been a guest on, and so is Penny. And let's see, Pat Miller was there. She's on the Walmart across the way. But it's a good event, and it's lots of fun, and there's music, and they have silent auction, and the money goes to a really good cause. So we just ate and ate and ate and ate, and so now we have to be in the gym for the next 3 years to work it off. But it was a lovely event. I hope you had a good time, too. And then when I got picked up my tickets, the person behind the who was, you know, putting my wristband on everything, when she heard my name, she said, oh my goodness, I'm the one who bought your mask for the hospice sale. So the mask, I was always trying to find out, and they wouldn't tell me because of privacy considerations, so confidentiality. But she bought it for her husband, and so thank you to both. I was just delighted to meet you both, and thank you for buying my mask that I did. And the money went to benefit Hospice of Denver. And if you are in a terminal situation, hospice comes in, and they really do a great job. So happy to have helped out. Lots of things to talk about. I want to get started here with, first of all, the primary is coming up. I think it's August, I want to say August the 10th, but maybe I'm off by a few days. That seems That's my recollection, is that it's August 10th. Somebody tell me exactly what the day is for the primary. And this is why it's important to vote in the primary. It's very important to vote in the primary because you're going to decide in the primary election whether who the candidate is going to be for the DA's office. You're going to decide whether it's going to be Mike Miles or Ken Salazar for Senate. So there are a lot of things that are going to be decided at the primary level. So don't not vote now. I think it's too late to register if you haven't already in time to vote for the primary, but it's not too late, I don't think, to register in time for the election, presidential election, the election in the fall. So there are three candidates that I'm aware of, at least running for the DA's race. There's Mitch Morrissey, there's Beth McCann, and then there is John Walsh. And my friends all like Beth McCann. They say that if you want to maintain the status quo in the DA's office, and the status quo is not looking too perky these days, then you stay with Mitch Morrissey. But if you really want to change, you want to go with Beth McCann. And she's got a great background here. She's a Denver woman. She has been a deputy Denver district attorney. She's also a deputy state attorney general. She's been Denver Manager of Safety, Director of Denver Department of Excise and Licenses, founding member of the Colorado Women's Bar Association. I think it would be good to get her in there, and she hasn't been afraid to make some waves. So Beth McCann, think about that. And there has been some controversy over the weekend in which Morrissey sends out some kind of a campaign thing that went out, a mailing that went out over the weekend, and it's causing a lot of controversy. So I think the person you want to look at here is Beth McCann. At least my friends all like her a lot, and they're more knowledgeable about that particular race than I am. So I'm looking at her very seriously. I kind of like what I see, too. 303-382-1150. Over the weekend, there were more stories about our police department. Let me give you the headlines of several of them. Cops breaking business card law. In other words, officers aren't giving info to minorities as required. So if you happen to be a minority member of the community and you have a run-in with a cop and you request his business card, he or she won't give it to you a lot of times. The momentum is apparently building for a civilian review. The mayor said that the latest shooting by a Denver police officer adds more emphasis to the city's interest in introducing civilian oversight of police investigations. So the mayor and members of the city council are honing a proposal to be unveiled this month sometime, and we don't have much left in the time in the month, and perhaps placed on an upcoming ballot. So in such a system, an auditor's office would review police investigations and make suggestions for policy changes, but conduct none of its own probes. In most cities that employ an auditor, the auditor reports to the mayor, city council, or chief, or city manager, not to the police chief. City cops could face oversight. Denver police are warned by the feds. The Justice Department has warned the Denver Police Department that it may ask a federal judge to wrest control of the department away from city officials and make it subject to court-ordered reform. So it could be, now here's everybody scrambling for this kind of an auditor and that kind of civilian oversight, but apparently there is some sort of a credible threat from the feds that it would take control of the department away from city officials and make it subject to court-ordered reform. And there was a piece in the Sunday paper that 18 people have died out of 26 shot by officers since 2001. Now, I'm aware of four big shoot first, ask questions later shoots just in the last 2 years. But the Denver Post is reporting, and among the reporters working on the story, Dave McGoya, fatal police shootings in Denver are on pace to make this the department's deadliest decade in a generation. Police have killed nearly four of every five suspects they've shot since the start of 2001, a rate almost twice as deadly as any decade since the 1970s. At this rate, Denver police will have killed about 50 people in shootings by the beginning of the next decade. That's just 15 fewer fatalities than police have logged in the last two decades combined. Police officials potentially facing a U.S. Justice Department inquiry into the department's use of deadly force say they are aware of the increased lethality of their officers but have no easy explanation for it. If somebody else has the answer, I'd like to know, said Denver Police Chief Jerry Whitman. You just try to give the officers all the tools and training they need. I'm not so sure they've had all the training they need. I think there are problems with the dispatch system and the way those people are trained who man that system, because information allegedly given to them doesn't seem to make it to the police officer, so that the police officer is less than informed in some of these dicey situations. And you have got here a pattern. There are a lot of people who think Jerry Whitman is a wonderful guy. I hear that a lot. Everybody has good things to say about him. But something is not working right in the Denver Police Department. And I don't care how nice a guy Jerry Whitman is. There's something seriously wrong in the Denver Police Department. And I hear about the Denver Health. Oh, there's some really good people and they're on it. There is something seriously sick about Denver Health when it has to fire and or discipline 17 of its paramedics and EMTs because they are treating patients abusively. You call for an ambulance to come and get you because you're in an extreme situation. Nobody calls for an ambulance, at least very few people would, unless they really seriously needed one. And I don't know how it goes here. When you call for an ambulance at Denver Health, who pays for that? Because I know if you have to pay for an ambulance, it's expensive. It's hundreds of dollars. So when you call Denver Health, does Denver Health pick that up? Do you pick that up? Does your insurance pick that up? I'm not aware exactly of how that works, and thank goodness I've never been in a position. But those of you who know, I'd like to hear. So I hear about Denver Health, oh, they're really good people, and they're in charge, and they're on top of it. They're not on top of it. If they were on top of it, this wouldn't have happened to begin with. And that so many people were let go, so many people, EMTs, paramedics, were disciplined or let go, that two major hospitals in Denver, as far back as the 90s, would not let their paramedics and or EMTs train with Denver Health because of serious problems. So isn't that a wake-up call for somebody? How does that get swept under the rug? I don't get that part. 303-382-1150. So it's really nice that a lot of nice people are in charge, but you know what? It's not enough to be a nice person in charge. You got to get the job done. You got to be competent. You know, if you were just a nice person and you didn't get your job done, how long do you think you'd last in your job? 303-382-1150. If you're part of the Denver Health culture and you want to call in and let us know what really goes on there, I'd like to hear it, and you don't have to use your real name. And if you're part of the Denver Police Department culture and you want to let us know what's really going on there, I'd like to hear from you as well. And you don't have to use your name. If you know people, if you're aware of information, lots of times people don't tell me things because they don't want me to blast it on the air. They want to, you know, it's a nice little good old boys and girls network in Denver. And my pledge to you is when I know about it, you're going to know about it. 303-382-1150. So I'm going to have to rely on some of you to inform me as well. But here, deadly pace in police gun use. 18 people died out of 26 shot by officers since the year 2001. And the Denver police, this is more than in this past decade than in some decades combined. And city cops could face oversight. The Justice Department might just, you know, the threat is that they would come in and they would take control of the Denver Police Department and wrest it away from Denver and run it. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? So somebody said to me, well, you know, how good are the feds? You know what? I think an outside eye would be good. I think maybe they would do a better job than what's going on. If the Denver Police Department could do a good job, the feds wouldn't have to make threats about coming in. You wouldn't have all these shoot first, ask question later scenarios. 303-382-1150. Don, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
How you doing, Enid?
Doing well, Don.
I want to invite everybody to come out tomorrow. We're going to be having a community meeting with Mayor John Hickenlooper.
Where?
It's going to be at 1212 Mariposa at the DIC Parish. It's right there on 12th and Mariposa.
What's DIC? It's a church?
It's a church.
What does DIC stand for?
I'm not really familiar with the name.
I'm always disappointed by too many initials. You know, when you got street names, M Street, N Street, it's like a failure of the imagination, Don.
I'm not familiar what it stands for, but we're going to be having a so if anybody wants to talk directly to Mayor John Hickenlooper about, you know, these events that's been happening the last week, you know, we inviting everybody to come out. That's at 6 o'clock.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow night at 1212 Mariposa, and it's at the DIC Parish. And on Wednesday at 6 p.m., we're going to be having a rally in front of the city and county building, and then we're going to do a march right over to the police, the administration building.
What are you hoping to accomplish? Since you already have a meeting with the mayor, why are you having a rally and a march?
Well, knowing John the way I do, I don't know how much is going to come off the meeting. But, you know, we just want to apply as much pressure as we can. Frank Lobato's kids just got into town the other day, and we're just trying to, you know, make people aware of this. I still talk to a lot of people on the street that, you know, it's totally ambivalent about what happened. So we want to educate people as much as possible. Over the weekend, we had Know Your Rights seminars. We passed out information to youngsters about knowing your rights when you have encounters with the police, whether it's in your car, your home, or if you're on foot. So we've been out trying to educate as many people as possible.
Are you educating kids? Are you educating kids not to get in trouble in the first place?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're doing that. And see, a lot of that type of activist work that I do and others do, it doesn't, you know, the media is not out reporting that. You know, I've been talking about gang violence and gang statistics and trying to calm and make truces between gang members for the last 10 years, but it doesn't get any publicity, you know, when we do things like that. Unfortunately, when these type of situations happen, people start focusing on what's happening in the inner city, and then we get a voice to talk about a lot of concerns, because it's not just police shooting scene. There's people being beaten by the Denver Police Department every day. I did an interview with a lady over the weekend, and she said on Mother's Day, a police officer elbowed her in her temple, knocked her unconscious, she urinated on herself, and had to sit up in the city jail for 2 days. And there's abuses like that's happening.
Why was she, what was her circumstance? Do you believe her?
I believe her. I went over to the house. I met her father. Her 11-year-old son got arrested as well. Her father got arrested.
What was she arrested for?
She was arrested for interference and resisting arrest.
But why did they want her in the first place?
Her son supposedly shot a BB gun at the neighbor's house, and the police came over to investigate it. She went and knocked on her neighbor's door to ask the neighbor why he was calling the police, because it was petty or something. And the police, she said the police grabbed her, and her father was a witness, and her son said the police elbowed her in the temple. She was knocked unconscious. She showed me the medical report from Denver Health Medical Center that she had a concussion. She sat in jail for 2 days and urinated clothes. And these are the type of stories that are not being told by the media, and that's why I'm glad that, and I really want to give you props, Enid, again, man, for dealing with the subject, because I know it's, you know, very controversial.
Well, keep us informed, Don. Let us know what happens in the turnout yesterday and tomorrow, and let us know what the mayor has to say, if anything.
Okay, right.
And let us know how many people show up and what the details are, and good luck, and keep us posted.
Thanks, and thanks for what you did Thursday. I listened to the show when you were calling the mayor's office. Everybody needs to do this, and I called that day, and the lines were jumping. And
By the way, I'm glad you reminded me. You know what? He hasn't called me back yet.
Well, join the club.
You'll ask him when you see him tomorrow. Is he calling people back? All right, report back and let us know what goes on, Don.
Right on.
All right, thank you for the call. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Let me put the call out again. If you know something about Denver Health, if you know something about the police department that we should know, I want to hear about it, because both are under a lot of scrutiny and a lot of criticism, and in the Denver Police Department you have got all these shooting firsts and asking question later sort of incidents, and to the extent where the feds are talking about wresting control of the Denver Police Department from Denver and taking it over. And then you have got Denver Health, which, you know, I don't care who's nicey-nicey there. There's a lot of controversy over Denver Health. You have a lot of people there making a lot of money. And what are they doing? You know, this is the situation with paramedics and the EMTs has been going on, apparently, for quite a long time. And just recently, there's been some disciplining. I bet that's just the tip of the iceberg. I'll bet you there's plenty more in that culture. So if you know anything about Denver Health, I want to hear from you as well. You don't have to use your real name. In either event, 303-382-1150. Lee, calling from Denver, first-time caller. Welcome to Enid Live.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Lee.
How are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
I just wanted to talk about the last caller that you got. I think we should get some people out there to support the police department, because these guys are working their tail ends off, and these people are calling 911 and not taking care of their own families inside their house and controlling
What people are you talking about, Lee?
Okay, go back to the Park Hill shooting. You know, the gentleman that was killed. Who was that kid? Charles. You know, and his mom calls 911 and screaming, and they didn't.
You want to just move your lips and have somebody else do the talking? You want to just put that person on the phone?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I'm waiting.
No, that's one of my employees on the phone.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay. Are you a police officer?
No, I run a tire business.
Okay.
And I think the police officers, the Denver police officers that come over here, and we're in the over here with the Denver police officer, and they come over here and they check up on us all the time, because all the crime and these families, they call 911, and when they call 911, the police officer gets on the scene. They're not there to open the door to help the police officer out.
So you might as well just shoot their kids dead then.
Yeah, I mean, if they're coming at you with a knife, what you gonna do?
You know, you might as well just shoot them dead. I mean, that's really the only thing you can do.
But you should support your police department.
Shoot them. You know, they call you 911 and you come in and they're confused and on their meds and they've just been released from the hospital and they're developmentally disabled. You know, just shoot them dead.
Yeah.
What the hell?
If you can't control your own kids, they should control their own families. They should not call 911.
No, never call 911.
If they're not a threat to society, why are they calling 911?
All right, what about this incident here? Where this is the fourth incident where the police have shot first and asked questions later. They shot someone who's completely innocent. So never call 911 on a domestic beef. Is that it, Lee?
You're talking about a police officer who has a great clean record from Texas when he moved to Colorado to serve the city of Denver. You're talking about a police officer and a good man. And now that man has to live with rest of
his
life.
What if you called him and you know what? You had a Coke bottle or a Coke can or a Pepsi can at Glen and he just shot you dead. What a great guy. He was really a good guy. Moved here from Texas and he's got a family and he feels terrible and he made threats against his ex-wife. Threatened to take out the boyfriend and to kidnap the kid.
You're gonna try to ruin a man's career by pulling up his old stuff from his divorce and try to make this guy look like he's a member of the KKK.
Wait a minute, don't you think there's
people are making everything racist about it.
Wait a minute.
That guy is doing his job and his duty for his community. And if they can't control
shooting
their families,
shooting people shooting control. Wait, control, who's controlling their families? You're talking about a police officer apparently couldn't control his family.
He threatened
to kill his wife's boyfriend, threatened to murder the wife's boyfriend apparently, according to some of his divorce records. And so you have a domestic beef, he comes over, shoots the guy dead. I'm sure he didn't intend to, but he did.
He's got to live with that.
Yeah, he does have to live with it.
Okay,
so do we as a community.
No. They shouldn't call 911. Well, if they call 911, wasn't that lady that called 911 her uncle, I believe. Why wasn't she home to answer the door to let the police?
She escaped because her husband was abusing her. That's why she wasn't there. Lee, so never call 911. Otherwise, they're going to come and shoot you dead. I get it. Okay, thank you so much. 303-382-1150. You may want to comment on Lee's reasoning, if it could be called that. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Flush Rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm having dreams again. Dreams I haven't had since I was a child. Great big dreams with glorious adventures and stunning achievements. In my dreams are all the people who have ever loved me, reminding me that I can achieve anything. I'm having dreams again, and the hero of my dreams is me.
The Women's College at the University of Denver gives working women like you the opportunity to reinvent your career and follow your dreams. You can earn a full DU degree by taking classes every other weekend from DU professors at our new state-of-the-art Chambers Center. Call 303-871-6848 to fulfill your dreams in a true university setting. Or visit womenscollege.du.edu.
Don't wait another day to reinvent your career. Download an application at womenscollege.du.edu.
Stay with KNRC right after Style Matters from noon to 2 this Saturday for a brand new show called Food Talk with Jim Condor. Jim will host a two-hour romp in the field of great food and drink. Interesting guests, delectables, food news, specialty foods, interesting food, food history, recipes, cuisines, cooking tips, and of course, restaurants. Food Talk with Jim Condor, KNRC's new food and restaurant forum. Saturdays noon to 2 on AM 1150, KNRC.
I'm Mary Thompson, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are lower at this hour with the Dow down 32 points and the Nasdaq down half a point. The markets have been under pressure today after a disappointing earnings outlook from 3M. The highly diversified manufacturer's forecast, often taken as an indicator of the economy's overall health. Shares of 3M are down more than 5%. Walmart repeated it expects 2 to 4% gains in July same-store sales numbers. The world's largest retailer says the crucial back-to-school shopping season is off to a good start. Other strong Walmart categories include food and pet supplies. Shares of Delta Airlines are taking off, that despite reporting a wider-than-expected second-quarter loss of nearly $2 billion. The carrier says it is expecting capacity to be up around 10% in the third quarter. And elsewhere in the friendly skies, demand for new passenger and freight aircraft is rebounding. Boeing announced a nearly $3 billion sale at an international air show in Britain. Mary Thompson, CNBC Business Radio.
When I saw how beautiful she was, I thought, this is just icing on the cake.
He put his things down and kissed me, and he said, not only is your heart beautiful, but you're beautiful on the outside also.
She took my breath away.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Sometimes a simple love story says it all.
I have found someone to love me unconditionally.
It's emotional, spiritual, and physical.
This is the best I have felt in my life.
At eHarmony, we'd sure like to help you have that feeling of being in love with your soulmate. That's why at eHarmony, we match you on the deep dimensions of compatibility that make for relationships designed to last a lifetime.
This man is everything that I have ever dreamed of.
Let eHarmony help you find the love of your life. Log on to eHarmony and take our $40 personality profile. Yours free when you log on today. Lot of happy couples out there thanks to eHarmony.com.
When you hear
a talk show host that makes fun of himself,
Doug Kellett is on AM 1150 KNRC.
Tell your wife, your children, anybody who will listen to you.
Afternoons 3 to 6.
I like it.
AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:32 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Tomorrow, President Clinton is going to be at Tattered Cover Lodo, and we're going to be on the scene. Billy Thorpe is going to be our ace reporter checking it out and giving us reports back, Clinton sightings, and anything that he sees. He'll be at Tattered Cover Lodo tomorrow. You actually can meet him there. Friday, we're going to be joined by Joe Trippi, who was the genius behind Howard Dean's ascendancy and also Howard Dean's use of the Internet. And Monday, Bill Press. You saw him on CNN. You've seen him on MSNBC. He has written a book called Bush Must Go, The Top 10 Reasons Why Dickey Doesn't Deserve a Second Term. I mean, there are about a top 1,000 reasons. 303-382-1150. And calling from Wheat Ridge. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Ann.
I kind of agree with the last caller in that I think that the person who calls the police has an obligation to work with them so mistakes aren't made. I took a NRA call course a while ago, a few years ago, and I remember some of the things that they told us to do, like when you call the police, describe yourself to them so they don't mistake you for the whoever's in
and
there.
You're being held against your will. You're being abused. You finally get to a phone.
Okay.
You've escaped. You have the obligation to go back and let the police in.
No,
give me a
no,
break.
No, no, no. Wait. What I'm saying is that in that case, then, whoever escapes and gets away and calls, tell the police where you are, so they can come and talk to you since the incident is obviously...
Maybe there's not time to do that. Maybe there's somebody who's dangerous and there's no time to do this kind of lengthy interview situation that you are suggesting. That would happen. You could do that in some instances, but many instances where life is at stake, you can't.
I know, but if they escape, Enid, then probably they are safe for a few minutes, don't you think?
Well, but maybe the person that they escaped from might have escaped from a place where the police could find that person.
Well, there are always going to be times where things aren't possible to do, but I do think that...
What's your larger point, though?
That I do think that if we call the police, we have an obligation to give them more than just the basic information. Like with the child's case, she was out, the mother or whoever was outside or had gotten away.
The family says that they told the dispatcher that the child was developmentally disabled, that Paul Childs was. And furthermore, Jim Turney had experience with him, so he had dealt with him in the past. He was not a new person to Jim Turney. Jim Turney had tasers at his disposal, and he had a lot of other things at his disposal, and he didn't use them.
But I'm not defending the shootings. I'm saying that I think we, the citizens, need to take responsibility to work with the police as much as we can.
Yeah, but you're taking the police, the responsibility of the police, not shooting first and asking questions later. You're taking them off the hook.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are, Ann.
No, I'm not. Well, that's not my intention, Enid. That's not my intention. Assuming some of the responsibility for things does not release all responsibility from the other party. I'm just saying that I think there has to be as much cooperation.
But when you have, I won't disagree with you, but when you have as much a pattern of as many shootings, lethal shootings in this police department, you've got a problem in the police department.
I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just saying that forever, no matter what the situation is, we have a lot of responsibility to help the police. Now, if we can't, we can't. And I'm not defending these shootings. I'm just saying in general, you know, I'm not defending these guys in specific.
Well, then I don't disagree with you. If you're trying to take them off the hook, then I would say that I don't want to see that happen. But if you're saying we try to be as complete as possible, but in the heat of the moment, maybe people aren't because there's a lot of emotions running high. Maybe there's a lot of fear. Maybe there's a lot of other stuff. I mean, what you're talking about is a perfect world scenario.
No. What I'm talking about is if you have a child that gets in trouble every once in a while and is developmentally disabled, then it might, you know, be a good idea to think about, well, you know, if he does this again or this, we have to call the police again.
All right, Ann, I get your point, and I thank you for calling. 303-382-1150. What do you think about what Ann has just said? And if you know anything about what's going on in the police department right now in the wake of these shootings, all these new procedures that were supposed to be implemented, that were in the process of being implemented, so what? Nothing changed. There's a culture there in the police department. And again, let me just say this. I hear good things about Jerry Whitman. My own experience with the men and women of the department that I have met, and these are mostly detectives, has been superb. They have been wonderful. They've been really terrific in every way. But something is going on in the culture of that police department. Maybe it's beat cops. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what it is. But you have got a higher rate of lethality. You've got a situation that's so bad that the feds are coming in, threatening to come in and to take it over and to take control of the department from Denver. Now, does that tell you that there's a problem? If you are involved in the police department here in Denver, I want to hear from you. If you have some comments that you want to make, pro or con, 303-382-1150. And the same thing about Denver Health. I'm waiting for the feds to get into Denver Health, too, because I think they're riddled with problems there. I'm guessing that what we have seen with the EMT and paramedic oversight is just the tip of the iceberg. 17 people that they have disciplined. My jaw drops when I think about that. When I think about how helpless you are, when you call an ambulance, you really need some help, and then they abuse you on the gurney coming in, or maybe they make you walk, or maybe they won't even put you on the gurney, or they're busy snapping pictures of your genitals when you're not looking, even if you come in with a head trauma. I mean, give me a break. This is really bad. Plus, there have been allegations that they roll you if you come in drunk or so ill that you can't, that you are unable to exercise the proper oversight on your own behalf. There are allegations, whistleblower kinds of allegations, from people who have worked in Denver Health, that they take money out of your pocket. Isn't that a charming little thing when you come in and you're ill, you're sick? So they abuse you, and then they take money out of your pocket, allegedly. 303-382-1150, whatever it is, there are problems there. And you have people there making a lot of money and a lot of people who don't make very much money there. So there's a big kind of discrepancy between the salary structure there. What do nurses make at Denver Health? What do the top executives make who run it? 303-382-1150. Just curious. Valerie in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC. First time caller, and welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi. I was just listening to your conversation with Anne, and I listen to you daily when I'm on the road, but I didn't feel like you gave Anne a fair chance to talk. You didn't listen to what she was trying to say. And you just kind of cut her off and put your point in, but you never actually gave her a chance to say what she wanted to say.
I think she explained amply what she wanted to say, but what do you want to say about it?
I have no opinion on this subject. I just called to say that as a listener, it feels like you don't give your callers a chance to say what they want.
I think she said exactly what she wanted. We let her talk for quite a while. She kept making the same point over and over. So finally, I thought the point had been made, and that was it. If you want to add to the discussion, you're more than welcome to do it, Valerie.
Well,
What do you think about the police department? What do you think about the shoot first, ask questions later, a behavior that we're seeing?
I agree with Anne, actually. I think that some of the responsibility does have to come from the people and the public when it comes to situations like that. And, I mean, I'm not defending what the police did in that case. If he had options to use a taser, that possibly would have been the better choice. But when
he could have also, in the case of Jim Turney, he could have removed himself. He's the one who went forward. The kid was not coming toward him.
Okay. Well, when there's other options available, I think that's fine. But also, it's a split-second choice, and we as the public give the police responsibility and hold them to protect us. And so in situations where we give them the opportunity to protect us, and
they wind up protecting themselves is what has happened here. They shoot first in too many instances, and they ask questions later, and it's gotten so bad that the feds are threatening, apparently, if we can believe the newspapers, to take control of the Denver Police Department away from Denver. Now, what does that tell you? When the case of Turney, an officer who threatens his mother-in-law, his former mother-in-law, the night before he shoots and kills a kid who he has had contact with in the past, this kid was not a stranger to him. This is somebody he has dealt with previously, so he had some knowledge of this child. And there were other people there. From the time he got there to the time he shot the kid dead was like something like 90 seconds or something. It was nothing.
Well,
that was no time to find out what was going on, and no time to, he could have retreated. In fact, one of the people who commented, one of the commenters on the case said he could have retreated. He could have gone for tasers.
So if he thought a gun was being pointed at him,
but a gun was not,
he was going to be shot.
Valerie, there was no gun. There was no gun pointed at him in the Paul Childs incident. That was a knife, and there was no gun pointed at him.
He thinks he's going to be assaulted with a knife, and his split second action is to just retreat. That's the police are supposed to just run away from a knife. I mean, I think I'm not condoning that he shot at him instead of using a taser or other options, but I mean, we give the police.
Valerie, this is somebody who's dealt with this kid before. This is somebody who threatened, go to his state of mind, who threatens his mother-in-law the night before. In 90 seconds, he shoots and kills a kid when he could have backed off. He, the cop, Turney, could have backed off. There were other cops there. There were tasers available to him. So I think that one, you know, why would the city have settled for so much money? If it is on its face an admission of wrongdoing. And I think you see too much of that pervading the Denver Police Department. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
1243, time to check into the KNRC newsroom and get an update from Robin Commons. Hi, Robin.
No, it's Tim today.
Oh, it's Tim. I just got a note that said it's not going to be Tim today.
Oh, okay.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine.
Okay, well, I'm delighted that you're with us, Tim.
Well, that's okay.
I was going to say.
All right, it's partly cloudy and 85 right now. A key ruling from the Colorado Supreme Court in the Kobe Bryant rape case. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Folks moving along the freeway system in very, very good shape right now. CDOT map says folks doing posted speeds for the most part. KeyBank has the information. Westbound 104th at Federal, a remnants of a minor accident in there, should be out of the way in the next couple of minutes or so. Left lane closed, southbound Parker Road approaching Quincy. That's because of pothole patching, and that will continue until 3:30 this afternoon. KeyBank promises response to your calls and emails within 24 hours. Call, visit, or email Key today. Discover the Key difference for yourself. Key, achieve anything. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The Colorado Supreme Court has barred the media from revealing the contents of a transcript of a rape shield hearing connected to the rape case of Kobe Bryant. The court upheld an Eagle County District Court ruling saying it was prior restraint but constitutional considering the facts and context of the case. This report brought to you by Soundtrack. Greeley Police and the Colorado Bureau of Investigation are investigating what may be a case of serial arson. All houses that were burnt were being built by two nonprofits. Investigators say all the incidents were arson. Fires were started with the same accelerant. So far, no suspects and few leads. Fort Collins will start spraying for mosquitoes tomorrow night. Officials have found a lot of the species believed to be the carrier of the West Nile virus. The trucks will be spraying from sundown till about 11:30 p.m. Weld County has already been spraying for several weeks. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, save big at Soundtrack's three-day Thornton warehouse sale. You'll find open box, demos, customer returned, and service repaired sets, all at deep discounts at I-25 and 84th Avenue. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 12:45.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
If you're a guy that needs to lose weight but doesn't want to eat like a sissy, try Advanced Z-Carb. Z-Carb blocks the fat-causing carbs from the foods you love, like pizza, french fries, and beer, allowing you to lose weight fast. Listen to these Z-Carb users.
Before Z-Carb, 6 weeks ago I had a gut, but now look, no gut. I lost 25 pounds.
Atkins, Z-Carb helped me drop 4 belt notches in 3 weeks.
No starving, no killer workouts. I lost 30 pounds.
Forget the gimmicks and starvation diets. Z-Carb is an advanced doctor-recommended formula that uses natural ingredients to help you lose weight fast. Best of all, Z-Carb comes with a money-back guarantee.
Call now to try Advanced Z-Carb, risk-free for 30 days at 888-201-1540. Ask how to receive a free supply with your purchase at 888-201-1540. Get your money back if you don't see dramatic results. Call 888-201-1540. That's 888-201-1540. 201-1540.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon. Some isolated thunderstorms late this afternoon. Partly cloudy this evening. Down to the low 60s for tomorrow. Partly cloudy. Maybe some afternoon thunderstorms. We'll top out in the low 90s. Partly cloudy and 85 now. KNRC News Time is 12:47. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
The Arvada Center presents Das Barbecue, a saucy musical comedy on the range, June 29th to July 25th in the Indoor Theater. This witty tale of love and greed follows mismatched lovers and generations of feuding families on a quest for a magical ring in the land of Texas. Five actors play over 30 outrageous characters, from cowboys and river maidens to dwarves and spinster triplets. The music is Texas-flavored Broadway and Western swing, with fun songs like Hog Tie Your Man and Making Guacamole. So get your tickets today and sit yourself down and enjoy some barbecue. Call 720-898-7200. That's 720-898-7200. Or go online to ArvadaCenter.com. That's ArvadaCenter.com. Das Barbecue is presented in partnership with Commercial Federal Bank. Located just 2.5 miles north of I-70 on Wadsworth, the Arvada Center is closer than you think.
Ever wanted to cycle with a Tour de France competitor? On July 24th, join Ron Kiefel from the Kiefel Cycling Hour along with KNRC staff as they hit the road and ride for troubled youth. Don't pass up the chance to test your skills against cycling's elite. Join KNRC at Wheat Ridge Cyclery on July 24th, 3 p.m. for a 20-mile jaunt to Golden. Call KNRC today. Reserve your spot at 303-296-7025. Minimum donation $25 and 100% of all funds raised will go to Lost and Found, Inc., providing troubled youth hope, healing, and a place to grow.
Thoughts.
Nothing about an attack on America.
Provoking.
It did not warrant of attack.
Talk.
To finish the job in Iraq, we must be united.
Every day. Hear Colorado Talk. AM 1150 KNRC. to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:48 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and tomorrow President Clinton comes to Denver. He will be at Tattered Cover Lodo. I think he was in Aspen over the weekend. I heard that he and Hillary were in Aspen and people saw them. He's going to be signing his book. He won't be talking to the media. And he won't be, you can't interview him, but Bill Thorpe will be there, our own KNRC's own Billy Thorpe, to bring us the scoop and phone us reports as to what's going on, and we'll be talking about that tomorrow as well. Joe Trippi, who was the genius behind the Howard Dean Revolution, will be joining us on Friday. And Monday, Bill Press, who you have watched on CNN and you have seen on MSNBC, he's written a book called Bush Must Go, The Top 10 Reasons Why Dickey Does Not Deserve a Second Term. Did you hear that commercial in the break? You know, are you a guy who eats like a sissy? What is with this? You eat like a sissy, and then you got Arnold Schwarzenegger talking about his foes in the legislature and in the assembly as girly men. So what is this whole backlash that if a guy's not a guy, and who's a guy anymore? I mean, these men are wearing more fragrance than women. They're wearing more jewelry than women. And they're afraid of being sissies or girly men? Give me a break here. 303-382-1150. Here's what we're talking about. I don't know if they're sissies or girly men, but we're talking about the culture at the Denver Police Department, where you have got threats from the feds that they may come in and take control of the Denver Police Department from Denver. I don't know how likely that is, but it was reported over the weekend, and then Dave McGoy and a couple of other reporters in the Denver Post talking about the deadly pace in police gun use. 18 people have died out of 26 shot by officers since 2001, so more in this decade so far than maybe a few decades combined. What's going on? And then you have a lot of you calling in saying, well, it's those people. Oh, really? What people are you talking about? When those people call 911, it's those people. This won't ever happen to you because you're not one of those people. 303-382-1150. And these shootings that are going on actually are going on in the minority communities, aren't they? They're not going on in our... they're not happening at the Denver Country Club, are they? If anybody calls from the Denver Country Club, I don't think you're going to get shot dead over there, are you? 303-382-1150. Andy, calling from Denver. First-time caller, welcome to Enid Live.
How you doing today?
Doing well, Andy.
Well, I'll tell you what. Some of your callers today really need to join Idiots Anonymous. I mean, if the 911 is there... to protect the sanctity of human life. And if that means that someone needs to get out to protect their life or to keep from being hurt, then they need to get out to protect from being hurt. I mean...
That's right. So you don't have a nice long time here to sit down and say to the police officer, this is what happened, and a nice long interview. I mean, sometimes it's not possible.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, a car accident, that's one thing. You know, whoever called needs to stay there so they can... you know, tell the officer what happens. But when someone's calling from their bedroom and they have their husband or boyfriend locked out of their bedroom because they're afraid that that person's going to kill them, I mean, they need to get the hell out.
All right, so you have two institutions in Denver. You have Denver Health and you have the police. And you're in trouble in one way or another. Let's say you have a medical emergency, you call Denver Health. And whoever would think that you'd get a paramedic or an EMT that would further abuse you and make you feel worse than you already did when you called for the ambulance. And here you call the police department, you got a problem going, you call 911. And who would have thought that if you call 911, they're liable to shoot you or somebody else, often the wrong person, dead? Who would have thought that the police are, you know, I watch all those police shows on TV. They're supposed to be your friend. They're supposed to help you. They're not supposed to shoot you dead and then ask questions later.
Well, hell, even Mr. Rogers taught us that.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers. Well, I thank you very much for the call, Andy.
You bet.
303-382-1150. Drea, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Drea.
Hey, I think you kind of made the point that I was calling for already with the last caller, but I wanted to know from the last few callers that were disagreeing with you on why would they think someone would call the police and even assume that somebody might get shot. I don't think, like, if I was to call the police, I don't think that I would assume someone might get shot by the police if I called them.
Well, you and I are on the same. You would think that when you call the cops, they're going to come and help you.
Right, exactly.
When you call Denver Health and you need an ambulance, you figure they're going to treat you nicely, they're going to treat you gently anyway, put you in the gurney and get you there for help as quickly as possible. Whoever thought that they were going to take pictures of your genitals to amuse themselves on the ride over?
Right, so I don't understand on why they think that you should give more instructions or more information when you call if you're in trouble. Why would you have to?
Well, you want to give as much information as you can, but there has been a breakdown in the dispatch service because apparently the allegations are that families say so-and-so is a problem, but they're off their meds, and some of that information apparently hasn't always made its way to the police officers who appear on scene.
Right.
So I think that's an issue as well that has to be addressed. I haven't heard too much about retraining the people who take the calls. I think that's a very pressured job, but maybe there has to be some retraining there. Maybe there has to be some officer, I don't know, some sort of how you deal with difficult situations kind of training. The best cops talk people down. They don't shoot them first.
Right.
Thanks, Dre. Thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
KeyBank promises response to your calls and emails within 24 hours. Call, visit, or email Key today and discover the key difference for yourself. Key. Achieve anything.
I see jugglers, masseuses, and living statues. I smell amazing Italian, Mexican, Indian, and Chinese food. I see you at Denver Performing Arts Complex, dancing to the jazz sounds of Hazel Miller Band. I see you at Savor the Night.
Join the Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce, Coors Brewing Company, and Tarot Card Readers at the 4th Annual Outdoor Evening of Food and Entertainment, Friday night, August 6th from 6 to 10. Tickets are $35 in advance, $45 at the door.
Join Hazel Miller at the 4th Annual Savor the Night. The evening will be filled with live jazz while you feast on the finest food from 20 of Denver's top restaurants. The Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce and Coors Brewing Company sponsor this savory evening at the Denver Performing Arts Complex, Friday, August 6th, 6 to 10. All for one low price. To support local charities such as Safe House Denver, the Women's Bean Project, and The Gathering Place, go to www.cwcc.org for more information. The Physically Handicapped Amateur Musical Actors League, FAMILY, proudly presents its 15th annual production, the quintessential musical comedy, Guys and Dolls, in the Space Theater at the Denver Performing Arts Complex, July 16th through August 1st. FAMILYs helps people with disabilities to showcase their talents and abilities through live productions. Tickets can be purchased by calling Denver Center Ticketing at 303-893-4100 or online at phamaly.org.
AutoTrader.com has the largest selection of used cars in Denver, and comparison tools make it easy to find the one you really want. AutoTrader.com. Your car is waiting.
Talk to Jimmy Lakey.
It's Andrew Romanoff. Welcome into the program, sir.
Morning, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've given money to a Democrat. I need my fever check.
Did it feel good?
I don't know yet. I'm still processing.
You could do it again. We're happy to take your money.
I know you are. If you don't take it, Democrats don't take it for contributions. They'll sure as heck take it when they raise my taxes.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that to you.
I'm
carving out a little Lakey exception to the tax laws in Colorado.
Jimmy Lakey, weekday mornings at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC. While Rush is telling you just what he thinks, Enid Goldstein will find out what you think. Hear the Rush Alternative, weekdays at noon on AM 1150 KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:57 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. Let's go right to the phones. Jerry calling from Parker. You're not really a first-time caller, but we'll give you a kiss anyway. Are you, Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
The male Jerry.
Yep.
Oh, because we have a female Jerry who calls from Parker. All right. I'm sorry about that. Welcome to Enid Live.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This last 30 years, the Denver Fire Department and Denver Health and Hospitals have debated putting the ambulances under the fire department. And for a while, even the ambulances were stationed at fire departments but Denver Health would not let Denver Fire have any control over it. And until it's in the fire department, where the medics are paid better and the standards are better, this problem will continue.
Have you been aware of it, Jerry, since before these incidents became public?
Absolutely.
What did you know about the Denver Health paramedics and EMTs?
Well, it's been in over the last 34 years. It's been in the news every 7 to 8 years that Denver paramedics don't perform as well as the fire paramedics. If I've been on emergency scenes watching,
why don't they fix it?
Because it would mean Denver Health, the doctors would have to give up control to the fire department.
Why don't they do better training so that their paramedics are as good as yours, or their training is as good as yours?
I think the problem is that they need to spend the money to hire better people.
But the question is, why have they not hired better people and spent the money? They'd rather pay themselves higher salaries? Is that the story?
Oh, I think higher salaries and the fire department control is more important than keeping it under Denver Health and Hospital.
Okay, Jerry, I thank you for the call. Two more hours of Enid coming up on AM 1150 KNRC. Leave it right here.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. President Bush says the U.S. is still trying to find out if Iran may have had anything to do with the 9/11 terrorist attacks. The final report coming from the Special 9/11 Commission says several of the hijackers passed through Iran before coming to the States. Mr. Bush says the CIA is checking.
Acting Director McLaughlin said there was no direct connection between Iran and the attacks of September the 11th. You know, we will continue to look and see if the Iranians were involved.
The president says he's looking forward to reading the commission's final report, which sources say will claim his administration could have done more to fight terrorism. The Philippine government has withdrawn all its troops from Iraq as the kidnappers of a Filipino worker had demanded. U.S. officials say that sets a dangerous precedent. The French government is denouncing Israeli Prime Minister Sharon's suggestion that all French Jews should move to Israel. He says anti-Semitism has become intolerable in France. Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
Caesar, begin dragon-style kata! Raise paws, tiger strike! Again! Kokuzo! Heart pumping? Hey! Lift high in the quarter, roundhouse kick!
Cats don't have cardio kickboxing. That's why they have IMS, with 7 essential nutrients for a strong, healthy heart.
Beast the fluffy son, Coco-san, fight!
Nourish every heartbeat, love every bite. IMS, good for life.
Break it up!
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Lincoln & Mercury certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous inspection of up to 141 points. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile limited warranty coverage and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by September 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 85 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Another pretrial hearing is underway in the Kobe Bryant rape case. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic. Here's Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Problems in the Central Valley at the lunch hour today. This report is service of the Centrix Financial Grand Prix of Denver. It's actually double trouble. Southbound I-25 at 38th Avenue. Denver police working on an accident there. That coupled with an earlier stall, southbound I-25 at 16th Street, has traffic pretty well loused up from the mousetrap on down towards Spear Boulevard. Once you get south of Spear, everything opens up, moves along in good shape. Also, traffic lights aren't working properly at Wadsworth in Virginia. The Centrix Financial Grand Prix of Denver is August 13th through the 15th. Special guest Sugar Ray perform live August 14th. Tickets available at Ticketmaster or call 303-830-TIXS. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Cameras in the courtroom come under sharp focus during pretrial motions today in the Kobe Bryant rape case. Neither the prosecution nor the defense wants cameras to witness the trial. Media attorneys are arguing the public's right to know. This report brought to you by Subway. What looks like a case of serial arson is being investigated by Greeley Police and the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. One Habitat for Humanity home was destroyed Saturday with another damaged last Tuesday. Habitat's Ron Gross.
We're building homes, we're building hope, and we're hopefully building families. And for somebody to try to destroy that, it's just, I don't know, the words I would use I can't use on camera for that.
So far, no suspects and few leads. Yesterday, a hit-and-run suspect didn't get very far thanks to some bystanders. Witnesses say the suspect ran a red light at Lincoln and 3rd and hit another car. He took off on foot, dropping a gun as he ran. Three people ran him down and held him until police got there. The man faces a list of charges. In sports, the Colorado Rockies play the first of two against the San Diego Padres tonight at Coors Field. Denny Stark on the mound for the Rocks. Now for a limited time at participating Subway restaurants, get three of your favorite footlong subs for only $11.99. That's right, three footlong subs for only $11.99. All day, every day, Subway, eat fresh. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 12:04.
We know you're busy running your lives. That's why we'll keep up with what the government is trying to do to you.
What's going on here?
Denver's new generation of talk radio. AM 1150, KNRC.
Imagine this. You're busy at work. You randomly run into someone at the printer, and they give you a 100% raise. Hard to imagine, huh? So why do we expect it when it comes to dating? We go to the same old places and wonder why our soulmate doesn't walk in and ask us out. Maybe that's the problem. The approach is wrong. Cottonwood Connection, helping singles connect, can help you with making meaningful connections with Denver singles. Sign up today by calling 303-424-2300 and receive $100 off your membership. Plus, you'll be entered in a drawing August 28th for a $500 romantic getaway package for you and a date to the Lodge and Spa at Breckenridge. Also, as a valued KNRC listener, the Lodge and Spa at Breckenridge offers a preferred summer lodging special. Call 800-736-1607. Mention the KNRC Summer Special and receive weekend rates starting from $85, not including taxes and fees. Restrictions apply. So call Cottonwood Connection now at 303-424-2300.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast. From the Weather Channel, we will be at risk for severe weather by midweek, as thunderstorms become much more numerous. They'll stay isolated through late afternoon and evening, with clearing to follow after midnight. We should top out around 91 for the high, drop to 61 for the overnight low. And we'll be looking at a few isolated thunderstorms tomorrow with highs in the low 90s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's cloudy and 85 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
106, 6 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we're going to be joined tomorrow by Bill Thorpe. He's going to be out and about, and he's going to be at Lodo, Tattered Cover, checking out Bill Clinton's appearance, and it has all the makings of a huge event, so we'll be bringing you that. Joe Trippi, who was the genius behind Howard Dean's meteoric rise and his internet success, will be joining us on Friday. And on Monday, Bill Press, whom you know from CNN and MSNBC, will also be joining us. So that's what's going on right now. If you just tuned in, you missed a vibrant discussion about a couple of our major institutions in Denver, the police department, these shoot first and ask questions later kinds of situations it seems to have gotten itself into. There is talk that the feds might come in to wrest control of the Denver Police Department from Denver and take it over. So maybe that's why there's a greater push now for civilian oversight to keep the feds out. And then you've got Denver Health, which has disciplined 17, I believe, of its many paramedics and EMTs, either disciplined and or fired them for abusive behavior. And this has been well known for a long time. There have been lots of problems. It's a troubled part of Denver Health, and why it hasn't gotten solved in the every time it emerges as a problem, why doesn't it get solved at that time? And the same with the police department. And everybody says, oh, the people who run these things, they have it under control, they're good people. Well, you know, maybe that's right, maybe that's not right. But if they're not doing the job, then should they retain their jobs? If they're not competent, if the agencies in question here, the institutions in question, are not doing it right, then I think we're the ones paying the bills. We ought to be asking some pretty salient questions. And don't say, you know, it's not going to happen to me. It's them. It's them. The police, you know, when you call 911 because you can't keep control of your child, it's them. Now, I don't think so. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And you have, it was reported over the weekend that CU, you know, again, another of our institutions where there's a culture out of control, that CU always urged leniency and not arrest. The University of Colorado campus police detective, in a sometimes tearful statement, said that top football officials pressured his department to treat misbehaving football players more leniently than other students. Once, either Coach Gary Barnett or Director of Football Operations David Hansberg suggested laps instead of arrest for a player who had attacked a parking lot attendant, said CU Detective Tom Delaria, a 30-year veteran of the department. Delaria made the charges during a June 22 deposition given to lawyers representing a woman who has sued CU. The deposition was released last week, late last week. Let me tell you something. If this detective went for it, then we need to slap his hands, too. I don't know if he did or if he didn't. But here's CU urging leniency, and I hope that these departments don't cave in. But I suspect that they do. 303-382-1150. So you have these institutions. I'm going to say it again. These institutions, we pay for these institutions to abuse us, to shoot us dead. We're not concerned that they seem to be acting in an incompetent fashion, in a destructive fashion. Shouldn't we be screaming about this? Have we gotten so lax? Is there so great a disconnect that we feel like we have no control and that our tax dollars, you know, which get deducted from our salary checks if we have salary, if we're lucky enough to have jobs, that we don't notice that we're paying for all this stuff? 303-382-1150. Here's the story on Martha Stewart. I want to ask you what you would do in this case. She got a relatively light sentence, 5 months in prison, 5 months in home detention, and the place where she we think she's going to take it is in a 153-acre estate in New York. Okay, so it's not the worst thing that could ever happen, I think. She's going to appeal. For now, she remains free, but it could happen that if she is retried, they're speculating, and this is USA Today, speculating that she could end up not with 5 months in the pokey, but 16 months in the pokey. I would like to ask you what you would do in this case. Would you take the 5 months, bird in the hand? Or would you say, you know what, I want to clear my reputation. Maybe I won't be convicted of anything. Maybe I'm going to walk out of this scot-free, and I'm going to take my chances. And what the hell, if they give me more time, I guess I'll do it. But here she gets 5 months, and they're saying that the stock rose, and I thought about buying some of her stock when she was originally all this happened, and I didn't do it. So maybe that would have been a smart thing to do. It did go up about, I don't know, what did somebody say, 20-30% or something on the news of her sentencing. And the reason they're saying that the stock went up, but they always have reasons. Well, today the stock's down. Well, on new, bad news from Iraq. Oh, today's the stock is up. On good news about Martha Stewart. I mean, nobody knows why the stocks are up and why the market is down. Nobody has got a clue. If anybody knew how to do this, if any broker were that good, believe me, they wouldn't be going to work every day. They would be investing their money, and they wouldn't have to report to anybody about it. So here's the question. Martha Stewart, 5 months, bird in the hand, should she do it? I'm kind of thinking that she should. But I was reading a story in the Sunday New York Times Magazine about this guy who is an athlete. And the Rockies were interested in him. He was drafted by the Colorado Rockies, and he was offered, are you ready for this? He was offered $4 million, that's what they say in the headline. He was also offered $4.9 million over 8 years, $5.3 million over 8 years, and even $4 million over only 2 years. And guess what? His parents and his agent were insulted by these offers. Let me give you the offers again. The guy's name is Harrington. And the Colorado Rockies, for one, offered him a lot of money. He was drafted by the Rockies, and he was offered $4 million. He also got a $4.9 million offer over 8 years, a $5.3 million offer over 8 years, and a $4 million offer over only 2 years. And let me give it to you again. His parents and his agent were insulted by the offers. So you know what he's doing now? Well, let's see. He's making $800 a month pitching for some nowhere team in Fort Worth, and in the off season, he stocks shelves at Target. So a guy who was insulted by offers ranging from $4 million to $5.3 million, and one was only for 2 years. You could make $2 million a year. $4 million for 2 years, they're insulted. They're all bent out of shape. And now he's making $800 a month. He's pitching for some, you know, class Z team in Fort Worth, $800 a month. And in the off season, he stocks shelves at Target, at Target. So I guess there is some kind of an inflation that is going on in American life where people are turning up their nose at seven-figure salaries. And here's Martha Stewart. She got 5 months, but she wants to go for no months. Should she take the five? Should she go for, it's a long shot, that she will have a new trial and she'll win her appeal, or they say, but it's possible also that she could get herself 16 months in the pokey. What would you do? 303-382-1150. Couple of stories, that one of which, some information that was released while I was in Italy last week before last. This is a really sad story. The National Endowment for the Arts released what it called a, quote, bleak assessment of the state of reading in America. According to the endowment's survey, compiled from 2002 Census Bureau data, reading in general has gone down over the last 20 years, and reading of literature in particular. For the first time in our history, less than half the adult population reads fiction, poetry, or plays. Moreover, the pace of decline is accelerating, especially among 18 to 24-year-olds. 20 years ago, this group was the most likely to pick up a book, and now they are the least likely to pick up a book, with the exception of those 65 and older, some of whom presumably find reading unrewarding for ophthalmological reasons rather than cultural ones. None of this is very good news, especially the part about younger readers or non-readers, but none of it seems terribly surprising either. Instead of combing through the census, the NEA researchers could have reached many of the same conclusions simply by talking to a couple of observant booksellers. They would have learned, for example, that book sales have been flat for the last several years, or at least have not kept pace with the growth in the population. They would have learned that women buy more books than men. They would have learned or been able to guess that the more money you have, the more likely you are to spend some of it on books. Reading, it turns out, is like travel and wine drinking. It correlates closely with income and with education. From talking to people in bookstores, the researchers would also have learned that nonfiction claims a hefty and attention-getting share of the market, and that might have saved them from the perplexing methodological error. The Reading at Risk survey defines literature as any type of fiction, poetry, and plays that respondents felt should be included, not just what literary critics might consider literature. Mysteries fit the bill, for example, and so do romances, fantasy, science fiction, thrillers, westerns, and presumably pornography. It's not clear whether this inconclusiveness stems from political correctness, from a wish not to privilege, as they say in the seminar room, over one genre over another, or merely from a reluctance to venture into the treacherous business of making value judgments. But here's the story. The story is that we are reading less. I really lament this. I love books. I am a huge, huge reader. I don't for me now, doing talk radio, it is a huge treat to be able to read fiction because I have so little time to do it. I have to be conversant with it because I have many fiction writers on, but there's so much of what I do that requires me reading nonfiction newspapers and so on that I am saddened to see that fewer of us are reading. And I saw it when I was in Italy and there was a lot of family around and my cousin got married, and that was the week before last. And here were a lot of, some of the teenage relatives. And one of my cousins was actually deeply immersed in a Harry Potter book. She really was reading. But a lot of kids don't. And I am saddened by it, and I'm curious to know what the implications are going to be. And let me add to it a local angle to this story, which is that the Denver Newspaper Agency, which publishes both the Denver Post and the Rocky, is in the process of developing 6 to 12 new alternative publications targeting specific demographic groups such as Hispanics, youthful readers, and singles. It might be an oxymoron to talk about youthful readers. Now, people who listen to talk radio are naturally readers, I think. Tend to be interested, at least if they're not readers, they're interested in current events, public affairs, news, what's going on. They're intellectually curious. They're voracious sometimes. They really want to know. Some of you, lots of you have college degrees. Many more of you have lots of you have gone to graduate school, have graduate degrees, law degrees, medical degrees, and so forth. And many of you graduated only from high school, but are really just interested and are self-taught. Well, I'm curious because the JOA, the Joint Operating Agreement, the Denver newspaper, which gives rise to the Denver Newspaper Agency, they are talking about starting a publication called the Daily Planet. And they want to reach women who are something like, 18 to 39 or something like that. My question is, will it be successful? And what is it that the newspaper is doing or not doing to reach women of that, or even men of that age, to reach a younger reader? What would you, if you were running the newspapers, the Post and the Rocky, what would you do to reach out to the younger reader? Or is it impossible because they won't read no matter what you do? 303-382-1150, because according to this NEA report, we're not reading anymore, especially if you're a younger reader. 18 to 24-year-olds, and the pace is accelerating. So if they're not reading, is there anything you can do to bring them in? What can you do to bring people in to read? If you were running the two newspapers in town or one of them, what would you do? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. If you've never called my show before, consider doing it. You will reach more people than you probably meet in the whole rest of your life. It's free. You could affect the dialogue. Hal, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, you jumped topics here. Martha Stewart, my advice to Martha Stewart would be to go in, do the 5 months, redecorate the jail, get to know a lot of people, and write a book, come out a folk hero.
That probably wouldn't be a bad idea. You know, she could be very useful, and she could be running, she could be teaching classes.
Absolutely.
She could be, you know, they could put her to work, you know, at Danbury, which is where they think they might send her. It's kind of club fed, but even club fed, it's not that wonderful. They pay you 12 cents an hour to work in the kitchen.
Yeah, she could teach a lot of classes and get to know a lot of people and maybe even hire some talent. Who knows? But if she avoids the whole thing, people are just going to say, oh, you know, she's rich. She brought her way out of it.
Well, is there something to be said for getting your name cleared by insisting on a new trial? I mean, I don't know.
Heck no. Heck no. She should do her time. G. Gordon Liddy came out a winner.
You look at him. He's in the last, you know, the repository of failed politicos is talk radio. So you got G. Gordon Liddy in talk radio. You got Oliver North.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Jerry Brown for a while.
Heck, she could be your competition on a talk radio show.
Well, all right. One of us, I like to say I cook, but not in the kitchen. Thank you, Hal.
Later.
303-382-1150. Stephanie calling from Parker. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, Stephanie. First time caller. Welcome. You get our cheesy kiss.
Yeah, I was just listening to you talk about the teens reading the newspaper and, you know, the new newspaper coming out.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Are you a teen or are you older than a teen?
I am. I actually just graduated from high school in May.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting because of advanced placement courses and everything, and a lot of those teams are really avid readers, really great, but the rest of the school, high school, just doesn't read that much at all.
Where can you name your high school?
Chaparral High School in Parker.
Okay, so what do you think is the difference? Are the teens from the more affluent families more likely to read? I knew a lot of teens from affluent families who were likely to be the biggest goof-offs, too. Is it kids from families where reading was valued? Is it kids from affluent families? Is it just a matter of how you're wired and you just happen to like to read? What do you think it is, Stephanie?
I really, I really think it's how you view the world. I think a lot of people who are interested in what's going on and want to make a difference in the world will be more apt to expand their knowledge, while as kids who, you know, are just kind of going along with life are more apt to not really care to read the newspaper or, you know what I'm saying, just kind of, you know, fluff reading, I think.
Right.
More so.
What would you, if I were to ask you, what would it take for a publication to get you interested in it? What would the newspapers have to do? Do you read the, newspapers anyway, don't you?
Or do
you?
No, every day.
Every day. Okay. And why do you read the newspaper every day? Why does it speak to you?
I really just, you know, I want to know what's going on in the world. I think a lot of things have to do, affect everyone daily, and I think it's always good to keep up in that stuff, especially when you're having conversations with people. You want to, you know, you want to know what's going on. But I think that for publications to get more younger readers to read or pick up a newspaper, I think that it's going to sound kind of lame, but just have more stories locally, or maybe a lot of stories tend to be about politics or about what's going on in the Middle East, and for a lot of kids, they feel like it doesn't affect them. So to pick up a newspaper to read about that doesn't really interest them.
Okay, so if you were running the newspaper, what kind of stories would you have?
I would probably do stories about maybe more, I guess, fashion-wise for girls, and I guess more local stories would be. Kids would make more kids apt to read the newspaper because it directly affects themselves.
All right, so a local story that would cover what sort of a topic? Because, Iraq is actually of interest to people your age, because people your age might be sent up to go fight in Iraq right now.
Oh, right. I agree definitely with that. I think just, I would probably say, again, just fluff stories, maybe fashion or street racing is really big with teenage guys, or, you know, different, more exciting, more, you know, attention grabbing stories, I suppose.
Okay.
I think it's interesting.
So that would keep you, and you're reading the papers every single day, and you're going away to college?
Actually, I'm studying in the Ohio Center for Broadcasting.
You are? Is that where you're going after high school? Why are you going to do,
yeah.
Why are you going there?
Just because I'm really just interested in radio and television and media as a business.
But why don't you go to, say, CU or someplace or college to get, a good substantial background?
Oh, I definitely plan to, go to college afterward, but I, started with the program just because, it seemed like a good time. It was a good fit at the time. I'm living at home, still working, making money, saving up for college as well.
Oh, you are, but it's pretty expensive to go to that school, isn't it?
It is a little bit, yeah, but once I graduate, I'll be able to get a job and work at a radio station, hopefully to support.
Can I tell you something about these?
Yeah.
A lot of these places that take a lot of your money to inveigle you with dangle out the promise of a career in broadcast, just gobble up your money, and you're lucky if you get any kind of, you might get some possibility of an internship, but very, very few of people who go to a lot of these schools wind up with jobs. I just want to tell you that. And while they charge the students, they charge the students a fortune to go to school, and they pay their instructors, some of these outfits, they pay their instructors next to nothing, Stephanie. And what they give you is an internship out of it, then maybe it will have been valuable if you can get a job out of that internship. But I really want you to think about going to, I think you can get the same possibility for an internship at some of these other schools that don't charge nearly as much, and you get then the advantage of not only learning about broadcast, but broadcast is the thing that beams it out. You should have a good, substantial education.
Oh,
you know,
definitely.
Reading the newspaper is a really good thing, but taking great classes so that you know about the stuff that matters, history or geography or English or, just anything or morality or anything else, is really going to be extremely valuable. And how to shape it and how, getting the internship is a good thing. And a lot of schools have that, so you don't actually have to go to a broadcast school for that. So let me just give you a heads up on it, Stephanie.
Oh, I definitely agree. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. I can see that Stephanie has not listened listen to me. I was trying to give Stephanie a heads up. I'm giving it to you, boys and girls and buckaroos. A lot of these places, like modeling schools, broadcasting schools, they tempt you with the possibility of careers in broadcast. And very often, they don't really come through that much. You know, a few people get a job here and there, but for the most part, a lot of people don't. And they charge you a fortune, they pay their instructors next to nothing, and you can probably accomplish the same thing for a lot less money at a school and get an additional education besides. 303-382-1150. We're talking about nobody reading anymore. And what would it take to draw in the, let's say, 18 to 24-year-old reader, 18 to 39-year-old reader, but if they don't read, maybe there's nothing you can do, because it's being reported that the Post is considering putting out a publication that's going to aim at the younger reader, probably a female reader. And what are they going to have to do to bring in that reader? And if it's just, you know, fashion stories, there are a million fashion magazines, will that be enough to do it? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Why listen to Rush when you've got Enid?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150 KNRC.
Did you run over Mrs. Michael's flowers with your big wheel again?
Steve and Tina were young when they heard the call of the open road.
No, Tina, you can't sleep with your Barbie Corvette.
And as they grew, two words would define their destiny.
Road trip!
Tomorrow, join Steve and Tina as they travel the Lone Star State. From Dallas to Corpus Christi, it's one wild road trip. Tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, only on the Travel Channel.
Meet Jim and Bob.
Hello.
Hey there.
Before his big family vacation, Jim bought a new set of tires.
Yes, sir.
So did Bob.
That's right.
But Bob's were installed by a certified technician.
Certified?
And he enjoyed new, lower prices.
Lower prices?
On hundreds of tires.
Hundreds?
And that's because Bob went to Sears Auto Center.
I should have gone there.
Now save even more with all Bridgestone tires on sale through July 31st. Plus, only at Sears, save an extra $25 or $50 with the purchase of four select Bridgestone tires. See store for details. Sears, good life, great price.
Hi, I'm Hazel Miller, Colorado's Queen of the Blues, inviting you to groove through summer Wednesday nights at Lakewood Sound's Exciting Summer Concert Series. KNRC is a proud sponsor of the 2004 Sounds Exciting Series that features some of Colorado's best artists live under the beautiful summer night sky. The lineup includes Chris Daniels and the Kings, presented by KCUV, Dotsero, Lanny Garrett, and many more. Go to www.lakewood.org or call 303-987-7845 for more information.
Ever wanted to cycle with a Tour de France competitor? On July 24th, join Ron Kiefel from the Kiefel Cycling Hour along with KNRC staff as they hit the road and ride for troubled youth. Don't pass up the chance to test your skills against cycling's elite. Join KNRC at Wheat Ridge Cyclery on July 24th, 3 p.m. for a 20-mile jaunt to Golden. Call KNRC today. Reserve your spot at 303-296-7025. Minimum donation $25 and 100% of all funds raised will go to Lost and Found, Inc., providing troubled youth hope, healing, and a place to grow.
I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio. A mixed day on Wall Street so far for this trading week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now with about 40 minutes of trading left, down 32 points at 10,108, while the NASDAQ Composite Index is up 4.5 points at 1887. Bit of a sticky situation for 3M. The shares down about 5.5% right now as the company admits its earnings outlook is a bit cloudy for the rest of the year. Otherwise, it's been good news meaning bad news on Wall Street and vice versa. For example, soaring energy prices, record production, and a boost from foreign tax credits helped Occidental Petroleum post strong second quarter earnings, but the stock is down 1%. Kraft Foods posted a 26% decline in its earnings. That stock is up 2.7%. And it's been a bumpy ride for Delta Airlines. They're cutting costs in an effort to fight off bankruptcy following losses of nearly $2 billion. That stock is up 8% so far today. The Dow, though, is down 31, with the NASDAQ up 5 points. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio.
When I saw how beautiful she was, I thought, this is just icing on the cake.
He put his things down and kissed me, and he said, not only is your heart beautiful, but you're beautiful on the outside also.
She took my breath away.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Sometimes a simple love story says it all.
I have found someone to love me unconditionally.
It's emotional, spiritual, and physical.
This is the best I have felt in my life.
At eHarmony, we'd sure like to help you have that feeling of being in love with your soulmate. That's why at eHarmony, we match you on the deep dimensions of compatibility that make for relationships designed to last a lifetime.
This man is everything that I have ever dreamed of.
Let eHarmony help you find the love of your life. Log on to eHarmony and take our $40 personality profile. Yours free when you log on today. Lot of happy couples out there thanks to eHarmony.com.
Our talk hosts go beyond the headlines, armed with the facts.
Do not change the channel.
Find out the top issues plus how they got that way from Jenny, Enid, and Doug. Weekdays, hear Colorado Talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Talk time than any other Denver talk radio station. More talk, less clutter. Now, here's Enid Goldstein.
1:33 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. Speaking of less clutter, guess what the Walmart across the way is doing? They are restricting the number of commercials nationwide that they have cluttered like something like as much as 24 minutes of commercials in an hour broadcast, and they're going to restrict it down to 12 because their revenues are down and they want to pump them up in this way, and maybe they'll charge more for the time. Isn't that interesting? And here you listen to AM 1150 KNRC, and we don't have all this clutter, do we? So you can listen to a good long swath of talk radio without having being interrupted every 2 seconds by people trying to sell you herbal Viagra and, you know, things like that. 303-382-1150. What we're talking about is a very disturbing study that's out that tells us that nobody's reading anymore. At least kids 18 to 24 are not. It's a bleak assessment of the state of reading in America. This according to the National Endowment for the Arts. Reading in general has gone down over the last 20 years. Reading of literature in particular has declined. For the first time in our history, less than half the adult population reads fiction, poetry, or plays. Moreover, the pace of decline is accelerating, especially among 18 to 24-year-olds. This at a time when the Denver newspaper agency, and that would be the Post and the Rocky, they're making a lot of money. Their profits are great. Even though the circulation has declined, their profits are fabulous. And they're thinking about a publication that they're titling The Daily Planet. It would target women 18 to 39, and women buy more books than men. And what would they have to do? What would a publication have to do to bring you in if you were between the ages of 18 and 39? What would they have to do? 303-382-1150. Carrie in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC. First time caller. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much. My comment, though, about the decline in reading is that it really is a parent issue and a school issue. I'm a high school English teacher, and I was kind of appalled that my first year teaching for freshmen, they are only required to read 2 books in a year.
Really?
Yes.
Like what two?
of Mice and Men and To Kill a Mockingbird. Mm-hmm. And then when I had students do a choice reading, they could pick whatever book that they wanted. They just had to complete it in 6 weeks. People were appalled.
Why were they appalled?
That kids actually had to do more work than what was required in the curriculum.
Who was appalled? The students or their parents? Or?
The students, the parents, fellow English teachers. I mean, the issue of reading is that we take kids at an elementary level and we say, read, here's book it, here's a library incentive. If you read so many books, you get a pizza. And we do all these incentives, but once they get to middle school and high school, they don't see an incentive. Why do they need to read?
Oh, no. The pizza stop and so is the interest, so do the interest in books. All right, so when you required kids to read more, what happened? Did they just grudgingly do it to fulfill the requirement? Did actually catch on and start to like reading? What was the result?
Well, there were a couple different issues. I mean, I had this both with my freshman class and my junior class. My juniors were appalled. I had to have a meeting with a counselor. A kid said, I cannot read a book of my choice in 6 weeks. How do you expect me to be in cheerleading practice? I had parents call and say, you know, this is not what all the other junior teachers are doing. Why do you make my kid do this when he has soccer and swimming to do?
Oh, this is so depressing, Carrie. So what did you, I hope you stood your ground. Did you or did you get pressured out of it?
Well, I stood my ground for those 6 weeks, but, I mean, when you have that type of pressure, and I've taught both in Denver Public Schools and a JEFCO school, and I was very surprised at how much push parents can have with their kids, particularly in a JEFCO school, where they're like, no, my kid will not take your class because I know that they have to read more. And how do you expect them to work? How do you expect them to go to their extracurricular activities when you're making them do something that not all the teachers are requiring?
Oh, that breaks my heart. So what are you, what class, now what grade were you teaching, did you say?
I was teaching both 9th grade and 11th grade.
Okay, and are you, which system are you teaching in now? Are you still teaching?
I moved from JEFCO to Adams 12. So this will be my first year in Adams 12, and I have no idea how it's going to go. From Denver, my job got cut, then I went to JEFCO, my job got cut. So, you know, the state of the schools is, you know, the issue too. If JEFCO doesn't pass its mill levy or bond, if parents think that their kids are only going to be in a class full of, you know, 28 kids, they're wrong.
All right, now I want to ask you some questions. Are the parents, in your experience, one of the things that parents always used to do was sort of like parenting 101, was to read to their kids. Is there very much of that still happening? And you're talking about a relatively affluent schools, aren't you?
Absolutely. And there isn't, because you have an issue with parents who work. You either have double income families or you have single income families. And the issue is that they work so much that even when you call home as a teacher to ask about, you know, I'm concerned about Johnny, you will not get a phone call back. Oh, I was on vacation. Oh, I work 12 hours a day. Johnny's school, I mean, his school obligations are his school obligations.
The parents don't even call back when the teacher phones and leaves a message?
No.
That's amazing. Does the kid erase the message from the machine? Or
email, like at the school that I was at last year, we emailed progress reports home every week. We had our grade books online so the parents could check in on their son or daughter's progress. And then we were also required to make phone calls. But nothing became an issue until the last week of school, and then all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I had no idea Johnny was failing.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's just really...
What's it going to take? At that point, it seems to me that a lot is lost. If they're in high school, maybe not. Maybe I'm too... it's too doomsday a scenario, but it seems to me like how much malleability can you really, by the time kids get to high school and there are all these pressures on them, their parents are too busy to deal with them, and I think a lot of attention deficit disorder is a lot of the parents who don't have enough attention span to take care of their kids.
Or their kids are bipolar. Well, what teenager isn't bipolar?
Right. Right, exactly. But you have a situation where everybody is so busy and the kids are expected to be in cheerleading practice or play dates, or they've got to work in order to support, help, you know, generate their own spending money and stuff like that. So they don't have time. I mean, what is the antidote here? Is there, or by that point, is it all lost?
And I don't know, because, I mean, at the affluent schools, there's an expectation that no matter what occurs, you will go to college and, you know, whatever university is going to accept you. And it's almost like it's not a privilege anymore. It's a right to go to school. But when you tell kids that, the fact of the matter is, the higher your vocabulary, the more money you make. If you do poorly on your ACT because you can't read the directions, and you choose not to, you know, read books that pretty much everyone has read. I mean, To Kill a Mockingbird is a standard book. That when you go to college, is it going to be a wake up call?
Well, what's the role of the colleges here? Are they?
Well, most of these kids feel so pressured that they have to go to a big university. But when you tell them,
yeah, but aren't the colleges demanding that these kids be better prepared when they come in?
I think in some respects they are. I mean, when I went to CU to get my teaching license 3 years ago, I was appalled that in my class I had 22-year-olds who could not write.
Listen, don't get me started. In California, they would admit kids would get admitted to college that couldn't write, couldn't read, couldn't understand, couldn't add, couldn't subtract, and they had remedial classes. And my contention always was, if you can't do any of these things, you're not admitted to college. Go to some remedial situation, and then, you know, college was supposed to be something that wasn't where you went in because you couldn't read and you couldn't add and subtract. You went in because you were coming in at a high level. If you can't manage it and you need remedial work, that's fine, but don't call it college and go to some remedial kind of a situation. That's what I would say.
But when you look at the fact that Owens was threatening by, I think it was 2012, to pull all the higher funding education, like the state wouldn't have any education into any of the state schools, it's going to come down to who can afford to buy it, not on merit, but who can afford to go.
Well, Owen's got other fish to fry that he ought to be frying at this point. So I thank you, Carrie. We're going to have to leave it there. I thank you
very much.
And keep those kids reading, will you?
I definitely try.
I'm trying, too. Thanks a lot. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
142. Time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Cloudy and 86 right now. The pretrial hearing of the Kobe Bryant rape case continues today in Eagle. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Continues to be a very quiet driver on the freeway system at the present time. Air National Guard has the information. Folks moving along at posted freeway speeds, which is always good news. Downing and Alameda, watch for the remnants of a minor accident in there. Reminder that the Rockies play tonight at Coors Field against San Diego, so that means Blake Street will be closed from 20th to 22nd Streets between 6 and 11 o'clock to allow for pedestrians to get in and out of the area safely. Money for college plus a job skill from a part-time job, you bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-TOGO-ANG. That's 1-800-TOGO-ANG. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The attorney for the woman who accuses Kobe Bryant of rape says errors on the part of the court and its website has created, quote, an appearance of impropriety. The woman's security has become a serious issue once the woman's name was left in a filing published on the court's website. Meanwhile, the Colorado Supreme Court has barred the media from revealing the contents of a transcript of a Rape Shield hearing connected to the sexual assault case. The ruling upholds an Eagle County District Court ruling. This report brought to you by Subway. A newly released deposition says that CU football coach and athletic director were trying to handle some legal problems without getting the police involved. That deposition, part of the lawsuit filed by Lisa Simpson, one of three women who say they were raped by players or recruits at a recruiting party in December 2001. A brand new church building for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Centennial was vandalized over the weekend. The vandal or vandals painted a backward swastika on the roof and also wrote an obscene message. The new church hasn't even officially opened its doors. Now, for a limited time at participating Subway restaurants, get three of your favorite footlong subs for only $11.99. That's right, three footlong subs for only $11.99 all day, every day. Subway, eat fresh. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 1:44.
Why listen to Rush when you've got Enid?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett for McDonald Automotive Group. You know, if there's anything people want these days, it's choice. And if you're looking for the best selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, you owe yourself a visit to McDonald Automotive Group on Broadway. Here you can find rows upon rows of Volvos, Audis, Volkswagens. In short, the region's largest selection of vehicles from some of the highest-rated pre-owned programs in the country. And that's not just their opinion, or my opinion. That is the independent opinion of IntelliChoice, which evaluates manufactured, sponsored, certified used vehicle programs on things like warranty coverage, special financing, and even roadside assistance. So there you have it, the largest selection of pre-owned Volvos, Audis, and Volkswagens. Why would you go anywhere else, especially if you're in the market for that certified pre-owned vehicle? Stop by McDonald Automotive Group today on Broadway, just south of Orchard. That's 6000 South Broadway. The phone number 303-795-1100. 303-795-1100.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast, mostly cloudy, maybe some isolated thunderstorms late this afternoon. Partly cloudy tonight, low 60s for tonight's temperature. Partly cloudy tomorrow, maybe some afternoon thunderstorms at a high in the low 90s. Cloudy and 86 now. KNRC News Time is 1:46. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live on Saturday mornings. Colorado Mills aficionados like us know how to navigate Colorado Mills Mall. Here's our tips.
When shopping for high style at low prices, we park by Neiman Marcus Last Call and enter door 2. From there, we cover the whole fashion district.
On the days I'm schlepping my teenagers, I park by Eddie Bauer, enter door 4, and shop at B Generation and 303 Boards.
When Mr. Style Matters needs a treat, I park at Borders. Enter door one and shop at Perry Ellis, St. Croix, and Brooks Brothers factory stores.
With our families, we park by Jillian's, a huge entertainment center and restaurant, wander down the street and dine at California Pizza Kitchen or Yard House. Then catch a movie at United Artists Theaters or watch the kids at ESPN Skate Park.
Colorado Mills is easy to get to. Just 15 minutes from downtown off 6th and Indiana.
Or 25 minutes from the south on C-470 and 20 minutes from the foothills on I-70.
Check out ColoradoMills.com for store hours and great deals.
Colorado Mills, where great shopping lives.
Ever wanted to cycle with a Tour de France competitor? On July 24th, join Ron Kiefel from the Kiefel Cycling Hour along with KNRC staff as they hit the road and ride for troubled youth. Don't pass up the chance to test your skills against cycling's elite. Join KNRC at Wheat Ridge Cyclery on July 24th, 3 p.m. for a 20-mile jaunt to Golden. Call KNRC today. Reserve your spot at 303-296-7025. Minimum donation $25 and 100% of all funds raised will go to Lost and Found, Inc., providing troubled youth hope, healing, and a place to grow.
There is only one way that Denver and the Front Range spell talk radio. KNRC. That's AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, this is Mike Reagan. Join me weeknights at 6 p.m. as Denver's best afternoon and early evening talk continues exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:48 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about this really disturbing NEA report that says that nobody's reading and it's a bleak assessment of the state of reading in America. According to this data, reading in general has gone down over the last 20 years, and reading of literature in particular. And for the first time in our history, less than half the adult population reads fiction, poetry, or plays. And the pace is accelerating, the pace of decline, especially among 18 to 24-year-olds. And this at a time when agencies like the Denver Newspaper Agency, publisher of both the Rocky and the Denver Post, they're talking about starting a number of alternative publications, among them something called the Daily Planet. That's a working title where they're going to target 18 to 39-year-old, especially women. How are they going to do it? What will it take? And those of you who are teachers, I'm intrigued by these stories. Joe came in, Joe Anderson, my producer, to say they, when he was in school, they had to read a book a month. And I don't know, I just liked reading. I loved going to the library. I probably some of it was escapism. I lived way out in the country. I grew up on a farm. And going to the library was just a whole revelation. There were all these universes that opened up to me. And apparently that's not the case now because there's TV, there's the internet, there's so much going on for kids that maybe books seem sort of quaint. I don't know. Those of you who know, I'd like to hear from you. 303-382-1150. Camille, a first time caller calling from, St. Vrain Valley. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to Enid Live.
Thank you. Hello?
Hi, Camille. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm a parent and I was really interested in the comments of your last caller because this year my children will be a junior, a sophomore, and a freshman in high school.
Uh-huh.
And I know she put a lot on the parents and she put a lot about the kids being overextended and, oh, reading's interfering with cheerleading and whatnot. But, you know, as a parent who has been involved in my kids and who does stay home, so I do return calls and mm-hmm. I'm not one of the ones who, oh, we're on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I think thanks to our legislator, we're spending way too much time overemphasizing reading in the schools. When my kids were in elementary school, they had to read 30 minutes a day, every day, including Saturday and Sunday, after school and in addition to their normal homework. And you might think, well, that's not such a big deal, but it is all the time.
What do you mean? Who was mandating that they had to read 30 minutes a day?
Their school district, St. Vrain Valley. That was their response to kind of show the legislature and all the voucher and private school people that, you know, as public schools, they really are doing their job. So what would happen, and also with the CSAPs, science took a beating, history took a beating. The reading that was emphasized in school and out was not, let's read something that's interesting and learn about concepts or learn about composition and how to express ourselves. The reading was, we got to get 30 minutes a day every day and you got to do it. And that was the kind of emphasis that the school district gave. In the middle school that my children attended, they used a program called AR, Accelerated Reader.
Mm-hmm.
And it originally was made to help poor reading children, to help them get up to speed. And the marketing adapted it so it can be used in a broad way for every kid. And what they do is, based on your reading ability, they assign you points. And every single book on their list has so many points. So
all right, this is very complicated, Camille.
Okay,
what is your bottom line here?
The bottom line is the schools are looking at reading. You got to read, you got to read. But they're not looking at reading as anything other than reading. They're not looking at reading as an expression of thought, as a way to communicate. And, you know, literacy, reading is only one part of reading.
So did you do this for your children? Do your kids read? You've got a freshman, a sophomore, and a junior. Do your kids read?
Do my kids read?
Yeah.
My freshman and my junior read voraciously. My sophomore is not as avid a reader. So what I do in my house is, for every minute of computer time, they have to have a minute reading.
Perfect.
But, you know, but I
that is really perfect. And you look at it and you insist on it.
Well, as a parent, that's my job. It's my job to prepare my kids for their future.
You know, here, absolutely. That is exactly your job. But a lot of parents have abdicated their jobs in a couple of ways. First of all, instead of overseeing and contributing to the actual education of their children, they're letting the schools do it. And the schools aren't always doing the greatest job. And in other ways, parents have abdicated with their children because a lot of them have run away from home. It's just easier to get involved in your work. I know kids who get too much of one thing and not enough of another. I know kids, and I might be related to some of them, who have way too much stuff and have had way too little attention. And I see it. I think it's almost pandemic. And I believe for these kids, because these kids, you know, they're trying to spend their way into happiness, and it really does not work that way.
I totally hear you. I'm a retired CPA, and I've been home since 1995 with my kids, because when they were born, I thought I could do it all, too, and it doesn't work. And, you know, I chose to have kids, and so I feel really strongly, you know, I chose that, so I need to live up to my responsibility. But I think that more, we wouldn't be losing so many readers even with that, because that's been going on for two generations now. I think part of the problem now is this total micromanagement by the legislature with the CSAP.
Oh, I think it's more
that
part is awful, but I also think that a lot of parents have just run away from home. Camille, I thank you so much, and delighted to hear your solution, which is what is it? You have to, for every minute of computer time, you got to read a book.
Well,
a minute of reading.
You can read the newspaper. I love for my kids to read the newspaper, because I'm a newspaper junkie. So that gives us even more to talk about. But
thank you, Camille. We're going to have to leave it there. I thank you for the call. Thanks so much. That is a great solution. For every minute you're on a computer, you got to read. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your free AM 1150 KNRC coffee mug by going to our website, KNRCradio.com. KNRCradio.com. And then unlimited free refills at Sugar Beet Cafe with your mug. Just another way to say thanks for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
It's July, and you still haven't made plans to attend one of the wonderful concerts at the Hudson Gardens and Event Center this summer. What are you waiting for? Enjoy a summer weekend filled with great music, family, and friends. This weekend, it's the Red, White, and Blues Fest, featuring free concerts all day Saturday and Sunday, plus featured performers Pine Top Perkins Saturday night and Big Bill Morganfield Sunday evening. The Hudson Gardens and Event Center will open at 10 a.m. both days for free concerts all day, and the main stage will open at 5:30 both nights for the featured shows at 6:30. Evening concert tickets are $7.50 for adults, and kids are just $2. You can order tickets online at hudsongardens.org. Come early and bring a picnic dinner, or take advantage of their great concession stand. Beer and wine are also available. Join AM 1150 KNRC this Saturday and Sunday for the Red, White, and Blues Fest, and next Sunday, August 1st, for the Nacho Men. The Red, White, and Blues Fest at the Hudson Gardens and Event Center this Saturday and Sunday.
I want my golf challenging. 18 holes is the least I'll play in a day.
I like my golf with sunshine, immaculate greens, and a great lunch on a deck with views after I'm done.
It doesn't matter what you look for in a golf game because the Breckenridge Golf Course has it all. The only 27-hole Jack Nicklaus-designed course in the country. Spectacular views, great clubhouse, and your ball will fly 10 to 20% farther. Guaranteed. Visit GoBreckNow.com today for competitive rates and tailored vacations. Have a cool summer experience. Breckenridge.
AutoTrader.com has the largest selection of used cars in Denver, and comparison tools make it easy to find the one you really want. AutoTrader.com. Your car is waiting.
That sucking sound you hear is our competitors sucking local dollars right to San Antonio or Atlanta. That's why when you listen to them, there is clutter, interrupted by occasional programming. Not here. Not here. Out-of-town ownership took your talk radio away. Locally owned AM 1150 KNRC is here to give it back to you. More talk, less clutter. More talk, less clutter. AM 1150 KNRC. She's the Rush alternative.
Did you talk about something else?
And she's not on medication.
Thank you.
Enid Goldstein, noon till 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:58, time to check into the phone lines and talk to Steve in Fort Collins. First time caller, welcome, Steve, to Enid Live. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good, thanks. We don't have much time left. Tell me what's on your mind.
I just want to talk about this reading thing. When I was a kid, my parents got all of me and my three brothers really involved in reading. And the way they did it is it just came out as a, you know, observing what was going on in the schools and what we were being taught. So my parents would find books that countered what was being taught in school so that we would get both sides of an argument. And we would read and discuss it at dinner, and it was great.
What a wonderful way to grow up. And have you done that with your own kids? Do you have children?
I have two kids. One's one and a half and one's three. So
oh, well,
I've got a little while to wait.
Oh, yeah, they're not reading yet. They're reading the expression on your face and wondering if it's chow time yet.
Say that again?
No, that's all right. Well, we're just about out of time. See, thank you. I love that story of your parents presenting the opposite sides of things so that you could discuss it at dinner. We're living in a society where people are treating their homes like motels. Everybody's eating at a different time. They're all bringing in takeout, and we don't have those dinner table conversations, I think, the way we once did. I think it's a great thing to strive for, and I thank you for calling. 303-32-1150. Don't go anywhere. One more hour of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Stop us going on in Washington. We'll talk about it.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Rosalind Jordan. President Bush says he's looking forward to reading the final report of the special panel looking into the 9/11 attacks. Sources tell NBC's Lisa Myers it will criticize his administration for not doing more to fight terrorism.
To fix the problems, the commission recommends sweeping intelligence reforms, including a new national intelligence director to oversee all intelligence agencies and with budget authority over parts of the FBI.
Some administration officials, though, are resisting that idea. Guerrilla fighters in Iraq once again are attacking members of the country's new government. A top official of the defense ministry was killed today in a drive-by attack in Baghdad. In a separate attack, 9 people were killed in a suicide bombing outside a police station. And Palestinian officials are at the United Nations today trying to win support for a resolution demanding Israel stop building a security fence. Several courts have already ruled the fence illegal. I'm Rosalind Jordan, NBC News Radio.
There is no safe cigarette. Cigarette smoking is addictive and causes serious diseases including lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. The only proven way to reduce the health risks of smoking is to quit. At philipmorrisusa.com, you can find this and other information on the serious health effects of smoking. For more, including information on quitting and links to sites that can help smokers quit, visit philipmorrisusa.com or call 1-877-PM-USA-WEB for excerpts from the site.
Small businesses, big businesses. Who's there to help all those business owners? To find the right commercial property? to fight for improvements on tax codes and encourage real estate investment. To serve everyone would take a small army, wouldn't it? The National Association of Realtors has 1 million members, and we're doing everything in our power to help all businesses, big and small. The National Association of Realtors, 1 million members working for you.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 86 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. The Colorado Supreme Court has made a key ruling in the Kobe Bryant rape case. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Good traffic movement on the freeway system at the 2 o'clock hour. Pier 1 has the information. No serious delays on the interstates, at least according to the CDOT sensors. May have a little slowing around Alameda and Downing because of an earlier accident. Left lane still closed. Southbound Parker Road approaching Quincy. That's because of pothole work. Should finish up about 3:30 this afternoon. Pier 1, it's grand, it's open. Check out the new Pier 1 in the Belmar Shopping Center off Wadsworth and Alameda in Lakewood. And while you're there, save big at Pier 1's one big sale and clearance up to 50% off. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The Colorado Supreme Court has barred the media from revealing the contents of a transcript of a rape shield hearing connected to the sexual assault case of Kobe Bryant. The court upheld an Eagle County District Court ruling saying it was prior restraint, but constitutional considering the facts and context of the case. This report brought to you by the Denver Regional Council of Government. There may be a serial arsonist in Greeley. Houses being built by two nonprofits have been burnt. Habitat for Humanity's Ron Gross spoke with Denver's News 4.
We're building homes, we're building hope, and we're hopefully building families. And for somebody to try to destroy that, it's just, I don't know, the words I would use, I can't use on camera for that.
No suspects and few leads in that fires. The Estes Park Fire Department is on its way to a report of a rapidly moving grass fire at Big Elk Meadows near U.S. Highway 36. The fire not in the city of Estes Park, however, according to Eloise Campanella with the Larimer County Sheriff's Office. We'll have more details as they become available. In sports, Denny Stark will be on the mound for the Colorado Rockies tonight as they start a 2-game homestand against the San Diego Padres. Tired of high gas prices? Get a free $10 gas card. Register for the Denver Regional Council of Government's Carpool Plus program at carpoolplus.org. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 2:04.
Info.
What's up?
The scoop. The latest.
What do you know?
What's new?
Listen and we'll tell you. Hear Colorado Talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm having dreams again. Dreams I haven't had since I was a child. Great big dreams with glorious adventures and stunning achievements. In my dreams are all the people who have ever loved me, reminding me that I can achieve anything. I'm having dreams again, and the hero of my dreams is me.
The Women's College at the University of Denver gives working women like you the opportunity to reinvent your career and follow your dreams. You can earn a full DU degree by taking classes every other weekend from DU professors at our new state-of-the-art Chambers Center. Call 303-871-6848 to fulfill your dreams in a true university setting or visit womenscollege.du.edu.
Don't wait another day to reinvent your career. Download an application at womenscollege.du.edu.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A mix of sun and clouds through the afternoon, isolated showers and thunderstorms through this evening, scattered storms on Tuesday and Wednesday, and by the middle of the week, we'll be at risk for severe weather. We should top out around 91 for the high today, and then drop to 61 for the overnight low. Low 90s again on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, highs in the upper 80s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy and 86 now. KNRC News Time is 2:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:06, 6 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock tomorrow. President Clinton comes to Denver. He will be at Tattered Cover Lodo. He's starting at about noon. You can't get in to see him unless you have a ticket, and that all sold out very quickly some weeks ago. But you can listen to Enid Live because we have dispatched our very own Bill Thorpe, and he will be there to provide the scoop. He's going to be in the signing, and he will be at Tattered Cover Lodo tomorrow, and we'll be talking with him, so we'll bring you eyewitness accounts of President Clinton's every move. Friday, we're going to be joined by Joe Trippi. He was the genius behind Howard Dean's meteoric rise, certainly on the Internet, and he's written a book called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, Democracy, the Internet, and the Overthrow of Everything. Monday, we're going to be joined by Bill Press, formerly on CNN and MSNBC. New book, Bush Must Go, The Top 10 Reasons Why George Bush Does Not Deserve a Second Term. A couple of things that I want to add to our conversation. If you're just tuning in, this is what we are talking about, or have been talking about. We started out today by talking about our institutions failing us in Denver. The police department, which there have been published reports that the feds may come in and wrest control of the police department and run it, take it away from Denver and run it, because there's this pattern of the shooting first and asking questions later. And then you have Denver Health, where here you are, you're in an extreme situation, you're calling for an ambulance, and their paramedics could likely abuse you. 17 of them have been disciplined or fired, and it's a problem that has been ongoing for many, many years, and it's only being addressed now, and we don't really know even how fully it is being addressed. We were talking in the last hour about an NEA report that is really depressing, talking about how this is a bleak assessment of the state of reading in America, and according to the survey that they have just completed, reading in general has gone down declined over the last 20 years, and reading of literature in particular. For the first time in our history, less than half the adult population reads fiction, poetry, or plays, and the pace of decline, especially among 18 to 24-year-olds, is really accelerating, and this at a time when the Post and the Rocky Together are considering putting out a publication called The Daily Planet, that's the working title, targeting 18 to 39-year-olds, concentrating more on women than on men. Women buy more books than men do. So I don't know what a newspaper has to do to entice readers. You might have ideas about that and about whether your kids are readers or they're not. I think part of the reason why kids aren't readers, there are a lot of other things competing for their attention, and a lot of parents are neglectful. They're too busy to do it. They're not readers themselves. They're busy, two income families or a single parent trying to hold it together. 303-382-1150. I was interested in Kobe Bryant, the latest on Kobe Bryant. I really haven't been focusing too much on it, but a couple of things that intrigued me. A lawyer for the woman who has accused Kobe Bryant of rape was set to argue today that court filings should no longer be published on the Internet because of errors that have identified her and have jeopardized her safety. So there have been a lot of erroneous filings that have gone out on the net that should not have gone out. And the Denver Post is reporting that the lawyer for Kobe Bryant's accuser said that the woman and her family, the accuser and her family, feel betrayed by the people she trusted most, and that would be the judges presiding over the sex assault case and the DA's office, and that she has considered backing out of the case. The lawyer said that the lack of faith in the system has caused the now 20-year-old woman to consider whether she should go forward with the case. That's a big story. So I don't know what she's going to do. This was never going to be a cakewalk, and he has tremendous resources. I kind of think it's never going to go anywhere, but that's just my view. 303-382-1150. I don't think he's going to go to the pokey. I've never thought that Kobe's going to go to the pokey. There are too many questions here, and I'm wondering what you think. And in today's Denver Post, front page story, and this is just remarkable in a time of terrorism. Congress has stopped a federal agency from releasing, and that's alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, ATF. Congress has stopped that federal agency from releasing to the public records on guns used in crimes and may prevent their release in lawsuits against the gun industry as well. Proponents call the restriction necessary to protect sensitive law enforcement information and avoid exposing undercover officers involved in gun trafficking investigations. That's BS. That is completely BS. Critics fume that the gun industry simply does not want the public or cities suing gun manufacturers for negligence to have access to federal information about guns used in crimes. you know, here we are, facing terrorism. The one thing that, you know, could very easily be used in any kind of a terrorist incident is a gun. And yet we are restricted from having very much information about gun owners, their background checks. There are some not very reputable gun dealers who will sell to criminals. And you can trace those gun sales back to these not reputable dealers. And the gun industries kind of disown these dealers, but with a wink, wink, they still sell to them. And this way you're never going to be able to isolate these people out and find out that the disproportionate number of guns that are used in the commission of crimes pass through the hands of these disreputable gun dealers. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. So here you have a situation where, because it's information derived from licensed dealer records, we are prohibited from releasing that information. ATF says, I can't tell you what stores were hit. In other words, their thefts or gun store robberies, we can't know about it because ATF won't let this information out. Isn't that amazing? Are you appalled by this? ATF decided it could not disclose information about the thefts or discuss other Colorado gun store robberies because gun tracing records are involved and they're not allowed to be used. This year, Congress instructed the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, not to disclose to the public any information collected from firearms dealers and held in agency databases. The ATF data can be used to demonstrate the gun industry's negligence in sales practices. And I guess they want to, I guess the NRA is so powerful a lobby here. The Latte Grande, this is what the, this is the New York Times in its op-ed section today. This is an editorial today, the right to bear arms. Joe Anderson asked this question. Why does gun control scare people? What is it about gun control? Isn't that what you want in a time of terrorism? They want to know what you read in the library. The Patriot Act wants to know what you read in the library, what books you're taking out, what you could be reading. And yet, Congress and ATF won't allow data on gun ownership or tracing guns, data that would allow you to trace guns, any kinds of records. Now, you tell me whether that makes sense. 303-382-1150. Today's New York Times, the Latte Grande at the Starbucks in Tyson's Corner, Virginia, must have seemed extra steamy last month when two college students bellied up to the bar packing pistols on their hips as casual as if they wore cell phones. Someone called the cops, who confiscated the handguns and charged the students. But wait, the Catch-22 in Virginia's enfeebled gun control laws has kicked in. Sure, there's a state law against carrying loaded firearms in public, but the lethal fine print defines firearm as a 20-round-plus assault rifle. So, smaller weapons like a .22 caliber and 9mm pistols the students flaunted in their holsters are legal, and no permit is required. The pistols were returned, thereby contributing to a celebratory mood among the state's gun enthusiasts. I mean, would you like to be sitting in the Starbucks when somebody walks in with a pistol clipped to where their cell phone was supposed to be, giving them a little radiation to their lower region, their nether regions? Would you like that? And yet in Denver, I don't know. I think they are able to do it now. I don't know. Few Americans favor a return to the days when military-style assault weapons like AK-47s, Uzis, and Tech-9 pistols could be manufactured and sold in this country, making them readily available for use by gangs and drug traffickers engaged in violent crime. Yet, President Bush, Dickie, has still not made any effort to stop the 10-year-old federal ban on assault weapons from expiring on September the 13th. Seeking to prod the White House into action, two Democratic senators, Dianne Feinstein of California and Charles Schumer of New York, released a letter that's signed by Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, and Bill Clinton that urges Bush to take a forceful role in rallying Congress to save the law. In other words, a federal ban on assault weapons expires on September 13, and so far, Dickey has not made any moves about renewing the ban. At a time when terrorism is a serious threat, the former presidents wrote, it is even more imperative to renew the Assault Weapons Act and to limit access to military-style weapons and high-capacity ammo clips. It seems doubtful that Bush will heed his predecessor's message. His zeal for fighting terrorism and crime appears not to extend to risking the wrath of pro-gun extremists who are vehemently opposed to the renewal of a proven public safety measure, even though it has led to a sharp drop in the use of assault weapons in crime. The weapons ban also has support from every major law enforcement group in the country. To fuzz up the issue and soften his political image, Bush continues to pay lip service to backing the reauthorization of gun restrictions, which he endorsed as a presidential candidate in 2000. In reality, he knows that he is dooming the assault weapons ban by refusing to instruct the Republican congressional leaders to get a renewal bill to his desk pronto. So what is it that scares presidents and everybody else about gun control laws? What is, I don't get it. And I remember Charlton Heston, when he could reason more clearly than he's able to now, say that he thought the Second Amendment was more important than the First. I imagine his Alzheimer's must have kicked in by that point. 303-382-1150. Manuel, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Manuel. Is it Manuel?
Yes.
Okay.
What I'm calling about is there is a concealed weapons law here in Colorado that was passed not too long ago. And what it requires is anybody that is going to get a permit to put their name in the statewide police data bank. That way police can determine who has a concealed weapons permit and who basically has a handgun. And a woman by the name of Pam Rhodes, who is in the House of Representatives here, last session submitted a bill trying to do away with even the police here in the state having access to who has and hasn't got a concealed weapons permit.
Well, this is terrible. But the question is, can somebody belly up to a Starbucks with a gun that's not concealed, that's right out there, right out in the open? Can they do that in Denver?
I can't tell you whether or not they could do that in Denver. But all I can talk about is the concealed weapon.
Anybody, pretty much anybody can get a permit to carry here, can't they now?
Only if they don't have a drug or severe alcohol problem and don't have a felony that is violent.
Yeah, well, what if they're just nuts?
Oh, I think anybody that would want one just to want one's got to be nuts.
Yeah, but I think there are a lot of them, and I think they all belong to the NRA, to tell you the truth, Manuel.
Well, what I don't understand is there were 79 people who were committed felonies who had rights to these permits, who had concealed weapons permits. 79 of those people committed felonies last year. And what's a shame is that...
Well, were they found out, and were the permits to carry revoked?
As far as I know, they have a right to revoke. Whether or not they had a hearing to do that, I don't know. But that's scary when a police officer who is charged with protecting us goes up to somebody who has who's in a commission of a crime and would not be able to tell whether or not that individual is wanted and that he or she is carrying a gun.
Well, in Denver, they don't wait for you to carry a gun. All you need is a Pepsi can and you're fair game. Manuel,
I can't go that far. I think that there's some training that has to be done with respect to how they approach these individuals, especially in domestic violence situations. I don't understand why they couldn't have just corralled off the house and then waited there and determined exactly what was going on.
Well, that is a big question. Why did they go through a window? I mean, you're right. They could have. She was out of there. They could have waited to smoke the guy out, or he had already taken off anyway.
Well, exactly. And there was conflicting testimony regarding whether or not the guy had left. So there was no immediate need for them to go in there.
You're absolutely right about it, and I thank you for the information. 303-382-1150. Dave in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, I heard you talking about open carry laws and concealed carry laws and stuff. I was just going to let you know that Colorado, you can openly carry a gun without a permit.
So you're sitting in a Starbucks, you're having a latte where you're spending way too much money for that dopey burnt coffee, trying to look as cool as possible, and then somebody bellies up to the barista with not a cell phone in their pocket, but a gun openly. I mean, does that give you, I would get up and go. I wouldn't stick around.
Well, I actually, my dad, we were out in Douglas County, and there was a guy that walked in a Walmart like that, and I didn't know if it was legal or not. I mean, I'm probably not your favorite person. I have a concealed weapons permit myself.
Why?
What's that?
Why?
Well, I have it for work.
What do you do?
I'm a mortician, but we've had...
Well, they're already dead by the time you get them. What do you need a gun for?
We have people wanting to break in and steal embalming fluid for drugs and stuff like that.
So. Embalming fluid?
Yeah.
Are you serious? Is that used for making meth or something?
Well, they use it. I think they can use it to make meth, and they also dip like marijuana in it or cigarettes, and they smoke it. It's like PCP.
Oh my God! So they break in, and you have to shoot them dead, and then you have another customer.
Yeah, I guess. But anyway,
this is what a racket, Dave.
Yeah.
Have you ever actually had to use this gun?
No.
Well, who's gonna break into an immortuary? Have they tried to break into your mortuary?
Well, some of the other ones I do moonlighting work for. They've been broken in a couple times. So.
I don't think you really need a gun. I don't think they're gonna wait till you're not there.
No, you haven't lived in Denver long enough.
Well,
it's kind of a dangerous place.
It is.
Yeah.
Have you actually been assaulted by somebody with a gun?
I have actually. I was assaulted downtown by about 9 skinheads.
When was this?
This was in probably 93.
Did you have a gun?
No, I didn't.
And what happened?
Luckily, they didn't kill me. So,
well,
yeah, there's all kinds. I had to do training and all kinds of stuff.
Here's the story. We have Police Chief Joe McNamara, who was police chief in San Jose, California. And he's a fellow at the Hoover Institution, which is affiliated with Stanford University. And he started out as a beat cop in Harlem, and he got a doctorate from Harvard. And he's very well thought of. And he says he thinks it's a terrible idea for civilians to have guns. He says police officers who are trained, 15% of them, he once told me, have their guns turned against them. So by the time that horrible moment comes when you've got to root around wherever the gun is, it winds up not working for you, is what I think it happens in most cases. But what it does is it gives you the illusion that you're safe.
Yeah, I don't know about all
when
that.
When you didn't have a gun, you managed fine.
Well, but you should look at some statistics on there's a group called Gun Owners of America.
Yeah.
And they have a website, and they've got all kinds of links to, you know, actual crimes and stuff where people, I mean, the guy that I...
Yeah, not that this group is biased or anything.
Really?
I don't know, Dave. They're looking this... You know, you are the first gun-toting mortician I have ever met.
No, actually, there's three of them here.
And if one of these corpses rises up to threaten you, you're going to be well-armed.
No, see, it's not the dead ones you got to worry about. It's the live ones.
It's the live ones, but who could be potential customers? All right. I thank you for the call. Thanks
sure.
for the info. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. We have some poll numbers. We have some poll results on Dickey and what's going on. And later this on Friday, Carrie Edwards, everybody starts their bus trip from Colorado, I think Aurora, actually, to making their way to Boston. So they're going to get there as the convention starts. We were going to be at the convention, but circumstances have intervened, and we're not going to be able to be at the convention. Joe and I were going to be going. So I'm sort of sorry about that, but we'll be bringing you as much news as we possibly can. I'm Enid Goldstein, 303-382-1150. Why are we so frightened of gun control? Why is this society so frightened of it? Why has the NRA got such a hold? Especially in the time of terrorism. We ought to have more information about who buys guns, and it ought to be widely available. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi,
I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Talk to Doug Kellett.
Well, let's talk a little bit about John Edwards, because I know some of you are so giddy about the fact that John Kerry, by email today, which is something unusual, something new, named John Edwards as his vice presidential candidate. The thing that occurred to me at the beginning and still kind of rolls through my head is the old song, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, where it says, don't trust your soul to an old backwoods southern lawyer. Because that's what John Edwards is.
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio. A mixed day on Wall Street today. The Dow fell by 46 points. It closed the day at 10,094.06, while the NASDAQ, which opened lower, actually finished with a fractional gain today, up 0.68 at 1883.83. The biggest drag on the Dow, ironically, was its strongest stock lately, 3M, the maker of everything from scotch tape to drugs to electronic devices, said quarterly earnings rose, but revenue was lower than analysts had been expecting, and its earnings outlook was disappointing for the rest of the year. Shares of 3M closed the day down about 5%. Also out today, Delta Airlines posted a massive $2 billion loss, but the carrier's stock price soared by 8% after it said it expects capacity to be up in the third quarter and for the entire year. Maybe Wall Street just feels that the bad news is out for that airline. Not such a good day for the Dow, though, down another 45 points as it begins what could be its fourth down week in a row at 10,094. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio.
Meet Amy and Dawn.
Hi, how are you?
With her family vacation approaching, Amy had new tires installed.
That's right.
So did Dawn.
It's true.
But Dawn got hers installed on Sunday.
On Sunday?
At the mall.
The mall?
Where she shopped while she waited.
You got to shop?
That's because Dawn went to Sears Auto Center.
Wish I did.
Now save even more with all Bridgestone tires on sale through July 31st. Plus only at Sears, save an extra $25 or $50 with the purchase of 4 select Bridgestone tires. See store for details. Sears, good life, great price.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago. And they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call. And you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Ever wanted to cycle with a Tour de France competitor? On July 24th, join Ron Kiefel from the Kiefel Cycling Hour along with KNRC staff as they hit the road and ride for troubled youth. Don't pass up the chance to test your skills against cycling's elite. Join KNRC at Wheat Ridge Cyclery on July 24th, 3 p.m. for a 20-mile jaunt to Golden. Call KNRC today. Reserve your spot at 303-296-7025. Minimum donation $25 and 100% of all funds raised will go to Lost and Found, Inc., providing troubled youth hope, healing, and a place to grow.
As important to Denver as the Rocky Mountains, if we do say so ourselves. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kellett. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:30 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. A lobbyist on his way home from work in Washington, D.C., came to a dead halt in traffic and thought to himself, wow, this traffic seems worse than usual. He notices a police officer walking between the lines of stopped cars, so he rolls down his window and he asks the officer, what's the holdup? The officer replied, the president is depressed, So he stopped his motorcade and is threatening to douse himself with gasoline and set himself on fire. He says no one believes the stories about why we went to war in Iraq or the worsening deficit in economy or that his tax cuts will help everyone except his wealthy friends. So we're taking up a collection for him. The lobbyist asks, how much have you got so far? The officer replied, about 4 gallons, but a lot of folks are still siphoning. Oh, 303-382-1150, talking about gun control. ATF, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, not making available due to Congress. Congress has stopped a federal agency from releasing to the public records on guns used in crimes and may prevent their release in lawsuits against the gun industry as well. Why? We're facing a time of terrorism. The Patriot Act, they can come in and figure out what you're reading, but no evidence about your gun ownership? 303-382-1150. Vance, on a cell, first-time caller, welcome to Enid Live. Hi, Vance.
Hi, I want to give a little clarification on that right to carry that the previous caller was mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
City and County of Denver exercised some sort of a home rule act, and actually their laws regarding carrying are extremely strict.
Well, they were very strict, and then this law got passed, and now I'm unclear as to, because I know Denver opposed it, but then I think Denver was stuck. Now, whether they went back into court over it or what, I don't know.
I'm not sure. There was one person when I had been running for office back in 2002, there was one person who was also a member of the party who openly defied Denver's law and ended up being convicted for it.
Vance, what were you running for?
To be perfectly honest, originally I was running for governor. Then I ran for C Regent in 2002.
Did you win anything?
No, I actually didn't win the original party nomination for governor. So
what party were you running? I know you're not our governor, but what party were you?
I was a member of the Libertarian Party at the time.
Oh, okay. All right.
But amazingly enough, I'm not what you would consider your atypical libertarian. So
who are you going to vote for president?
John Kerry.
Really?
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, good. Well, it's critical now. I mean, these are perilous times.
Yeah,
you can't mess around with some of these obscure candidates, and particularly not Ralph Nader, which is essentially a vote for George W. Bush.
Agreed.
Okay. All right. So you're attempting to clarify the laws. You're saying that Denver had been very strict about this.
Right.
And I was under the impression that for a time anyway, when suddenly this whole business about everybody, it superseded, it was statewide, it superseded Denver's ability, and I don't know what Denver did about it.
Well, I believe the concealed carry still applies at the statewide level. You can conceal carry in Denver, but the state law that previously had said that you can openly carry, Denver did supersede. Now, that may have changed again, but at least for the last few years, there had been a big contention that because their whole thing was they actually came out and said, unless you're planning on going shooting, like practice shooting or something like that, is the only time you can even carry a weapon through the city and county of Denver.
Well, there was a whole deal where you could actually have gone into a city council meeting for a period of time and brought a gun with you, and someone made that point somewhere along the way, is my recollection. So
yeah, the city and county of Denver anyway have been real strict about their laws and everything, and I mean they seem to change on a daily basis anymore, so I'm probably wrong in this case.
Vance, I thank you for the call. Call us
thank
again. 303-382-1150. Robin calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Is this me?
Yes, Robin, welcome.
Okay, the point I was wanting to make is I don't understand why you're afraid of people carrying guns. You know, I'm not afraid of your talk show.
Yeah, but my talk show may blow you away metaphorically, but it's not going to kill you. Robin.
I support most of what you say, and I am a registered Democrat.
Yeah.
But until you can get the guns away from criminals, you have to allow honest citizens to carry guns.
But why are they so, here's an administration that wants to know what you've been reading in the library, but it will not make any of the databases, your background check, available. It won't make these databases available to law enforcement, for example, when you have some of these disreputable gun dealers selling guns that they shouldn't to felons that are disproportionately used in the commission of a crime.
Do you want the federal government to keep tabs on your listeners, who they are?
Do you want the federal government? Wait, Robin. Do you want the federal government to know what you read and go into the library and get your information about what you've checked out?
And about my gun ownership.
And if the librarian would tell you that they were in checking on you, she could be hauled off to the pokey. Do you know that? That's in the Patriot Act.
I'm more of a libertarian on this issue than.
Wait a minute. Books don't kill, but guns do kill. So if they can know what you read, why can't we know the background of these gun sales, some of these disreputable dealers who are selling to felons, and these dealers are selling weapons used disproportionately in commissions of crimes? When authorities need to go after somebody, suddenly this information, the database is not available. Why shouldn't it be available to us? We're living in a time of terrorism.
I really don't agree with you on this issue. I don't think that they should. The less the federal government is involved, the better.
Well, are you out there protesting that they're looking at what library books you read, or potentially could be looking at what library books you read?
I don't want to.
No, it doesn't bother you, but it does bother you if they know what your background is when you've got a gun. And why do you think? Do you carry it? You have a gun? You carry one?
Well, let me tell you a story. I have a neighbor that really dislikes me. He decided, I live out in the sticks, kind of. He decided it would be cool, if he would shoot his pistol off every time he drove by my house, about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I called the sheriff. The sheriff says, well, can you prove it's him? Can you prove he's shooting a pistol? It could be his truck backfiring. And, I know it was him, and I know he was shooting a pistol, but I couldn't prove it. The sheriff says, well, until you can prove it, we aren't going to do anything. I got my shotgun out, and I waited for him to go by the road, and I stuck my shotgun in his driver's window, and I pulled it up about a foot, and I pulled the trigger. And then I haven't had any trouble since then. Okay? So you see, guns are not all bad. Until you can get them away from the criminals.
I'm not arguing whether guns are all bad or not. I'm arguing that the people who have the databases involved, the gun dealers and so forth, that should be available.
Why do you want it made public?
Because there are crimes that are committed, and we're living in a time of terrorism. Why wouldn't we want to make it public, Robin?
I don't see the need for it to be public. I don't think they should have the information in the first
Why shouldn't
place.
They? What if it's a terror? What if it's a terror? Wait. What if these guns?
The
what if these guns, Robin, are going to terrorists? What about that? Shouldn't we have a handle on that?
Excuse me, I couldn't hear you.
I said, what if these guns are going to terrorists? Shouldn't we have a handle on that?
Well, keep track of the terrorists. And,
Wait. How are you going to keep track of the terrorists unless you keep track of everybody? All right. I thank you for the call. This is going nowhere. 303-382. First, we had a gun-toting mortician. And then, this is really sad. Don't you think this is interesting? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
2:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Cloudy and 88 degrees. The prosecutor in the Kobe Bryant rape case blasted the court for impropriety today. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
And we still have a pretty decent drive on the freeway system, at least according to the CDOT maps right now. The report comes to you a service of RTD Fast Tracks, 28th and Valmont in Boulder. It's an accident with injuries. It's a car into a gas line. So watch for a lot of activity at that intersection. 76th and Wadsworth, supposed to be a minor collision there. And Boulder County Sheriff's Department cleaning up what they think is grapefruit-sized rocks on the road at Marshall Road and McCaslin. Learn the facts on Fast Tracks, attend any of the upcoming public hearings, or get informed by going to rtd-denver.com and look for the Fast Tracks icon. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The attorney for the woman who accused Kobe Bryant of rape says errors on the part of the court and its website has created, quote, an appearance of impropriety. The woman's security has become a serious issue. In one instance, the woman's name was left in a filing published on the court's website. Meantime, the Colorado Supreme Court has barred the media from revealing the contents of a transcript of a closed-door hearing of Bryant's sexual assault case. This report brought to you by the network of 18 John Elway AutoNation showrooms. Fire crews are on the scene of the Grizzly Gulch Fire at Big Elk Meadows near U.S. Highway 36 near Estes Park. The Estes Park Fire Department is on the scene. More crews are on the way. Authorities still aren't sure how big the fire is, and there's no word on the cause of the blaze. Denver police say an unknown suspect took 5 shots at a DPD officer over the weekend. Officer Randy Wagner was on West Colfax when the shots were fired at him from a car that sped off. No injuries were reported. During the John Elway Hall of Fame sale, buy a new or used car for just $7 down, then enter to win a trip to Canton for John Elway's induction in the game. Go to ElwayDealers.com or any John Elway showroom. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 2:41.
You wanted live, local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Remember that little promise you made to yourself to get away from the city and enjoy colorful Colorado this summer? The ski train to Winter Park is your ticket to get away without the hassle of driving. There's no better route to go. Just call 303-296-4754. Then drive downtown to Union Station one Saturday now through August 28th, and you're on your way.
All aboard!
You'll enjoy the mountains and Winter Park's recreational opportunities and be back in time for dinner. Enjoy gorgeous views as you're lulled by the motion of the train. Seniors, large groups, and families enjoy the ski train traveling through scenic wonders of the Flatirons and South Boulder Canyon. You'll encounter rugged alpine wilderness and vistas far from the beaten path. You'll be dropped off directly at the base of the Winter Park Resort, a short walk from all the summer activities, often closer than you can park. Bicycles are welcome, so don't delay. Make your reservations today. Call 303-296-4754 or go to skitrain.com.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Mostly cloudy, isolated thunderstorms possible late this afternoon. Partly cloudy tonight, low 60s for tonight's temperature. For tomorrow, partly cloudy, maybe some afternoon thunderstorms will top out in the low 90s. Cloudy and 88 now. KNRC News Time is 2:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
The Arvada Center presents Das Barbecue, a saucy musical comedy on the range, June 29th to July 25th in the indoor theater. This witty tale of love and greed follows mismatched lovers and generations of feuding families on a quest for a magical ring in the land of Texas. 5 actors play over 30 outrageous characters, from cowboys and river maidens to dwarves and spinster triplets. The music is Texas-flavored Broadway and Western swing, with fun songs like Hog Tie Your Man and Making Guacamole. So get your tickets today and sit yourself down and enjoy some barbecue. Call 720-898-7200. That's 720-898-7200. Or go online to ArvadaCenter.com. That's ArvadaCenter.com. Das Barbecue is presented in partnership with Commercial Federal Bank. Located just 2.5 miles north of I-70 on Wadsworth, the Arvada Center is closer than you think.
Ever wanted to cycle with a Tour de France competitor? On July 24th, join Ron Kiefel from the Kiefel Cycling Hour along with KNRC staff as they hit the road and ride for troubled youth. Don't pass up the chance to test your skills against cycling's elite. Join KNRC at Wheat Ridge Cyclery on July 24th, 3 p.m. for a 20-mile jaunt to Golden. Call KNRC today. Reserve your spot at 303-296-7025. Minimum donation $25 and 100% of all funds raised will go to Lost and Found, Inc., providing troubled youth hope, healing, and a place to grow.
Hey, what's your sign? Is it hot in here, or is it just you? I seem to have lost my phone number. Could I have yours?
Looking for a new pickup line? Try this one.
Excuse me, but I couldn't help wondering, what station do you listen to?
Works every time. AM 1150, KNRC. To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:45 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and tomorrow we're going to bring you live reports about Bill Clinton's every move at the tattered cover Lodo. New poll results. 75% of voters nationwide think it matters a great deal whether Bush or John Kerry wins the presidential election, and this is according to a poll that's just out today. So 75% of Americans seem to be actively engaged in the outcome, thinking that the outcome is very important, this election. Nationally, the poll favored Kerry, 45% of voters, versus 44% for Bush. However, in April, the same poll had Bush at 47% and Kerry at 43%. So it's trending down toward being in favor of Kerry. Right now, the poll is 45% in favor of Kerry, 44%. It's a dead heat, essentially. But look at the trending. In April, the poll favored Bush at 47% and Kerry at 43%, so there was a 4% spread. In 17 so-called battleground states where the race may be decided, Kerry was at 47% with Bush at 42% in the new poll. So what's very interesting here is what's happening in the swing states. In 17 battleground states, and they don't enumerate them in this listing that I have, Kerry was at 47% with Bush at 42% in the new poll. We're seeing a polarization and high intensity of support and a sense that a lot is at stake, according to the pollers here. Almost one in five Republican voters, 18%, said that Bush should replace Dick Cheney on the GOP ticket, a move suggested earlier this month by former Republican Senator Alphonse D'Amato, who just got married. He was the lead wedding announcement in the Sunday New York Times. He just got married. She's like 38. He's like 104. I hope she's his beneficiary. D'Amato said Bush should pick Secretary of State Colin Powell or Secretary John McCain of Arizona as his running mate. Republican voters polled here seem to agree, with 38% favoring Powell and 20% opting for John McCain should Bush decide to make a switch. So that's the latest poll results that we have here. And Bush's agenda, the LA Times is reporting that Bush is having a hard time getting much of his legislation passed right now. It's not only the Democrats who, are in any event, are not much of an obstacle because there's a Republican majority, but the Republicans are splintered. And it looks like Bush is wooing voters going into local, you know, swing states, and he's trying to implement local projects. U.S. is picking up tabs for street signs, for airport expansion in a pivotal battleground state. So it's an old pal trick is to go in and try and buy votes in that way. So that's what we've got going on. The 9/11 Commission is planning a lobbying campaign to push its recommendations. This is unusual. Members of the 9/11 Commission feel that the report is so important and the conclusion, particularly at a time of terrorism, that they plan to pressure the White House and Congress to use this occasion to overhaul the nation's intelligence agencies, an effort that they say will begin this week with the release of a unanimous final report criticizing virtually every element of the way the government collects and shares intelligence. Now, what I think is intriguing here is that it has to be an indictment of the administration. 303-382-1150. Nobody, finally, George Tenet lost his job, but not at the time of 9/11, and for some other reasons as well. But really, for a long time, you could say, and you really still can say, nobody lost their job as a result of 9/11. There were serious problems. There was a great deal of incompetence. And this, I think, is an indictment of the Bush administration. 303-382-1150. In the matter of Dick Cheney on the ticket, it looks like he's going to be there. I don't see that, even though there is all this reporting, breathless reporting, that Dick Cheney might get dumped and his previous doctor had a prescription drug problem and he'll get a new doctor that says his heart's not doing as well and for health reasons he'll have to leave the ticket. I don't see that happening. But Newsweek has a story about Dick Cheney and Cheney family values, and it looks like Dick Cheney has gone through, he's so prickly, he's already gone through four press secretaries just in this period of time, so they don't last that long, and they all tend to be a little bit nervous about him. I don't know if you remember it, but when the study came out, there was a cholesterol study authored by six experts who told us that the levels for cholesterol should be lowered, and everybody's talking about lowering the levels, and I said at that time, you know what? I wonder who paid for these studies, whether the drug companies that manufacture the statins paid for them. Well, apparently some of these researchers have strong ties to those companies, so information is not yet, I think, it's a little bit, it has more of a question mark around it than it should. The Wall Street Journal is looking at the Joseph Wilson situation. Everybody's calling Joseph Wilson a liar now. And I'm not calling Joseph Wilson a liar because the information is kind of cloudy here. He did say that his wife didn't get him the assignment to go over to Niger looking to see whether Iraq had bought or tried to buy enriched uranium. But apparently, according to the 9/11 Commission, she did have quite a lot to do with him getting the assignment. As to whether or not these forgeries were inconsistent with Iraq trying to actually buy enriched uranium in Niger, there's a lot of controversy, and the Wall Street Journal says that it's really quite unclear. So the business about pointing a finger at Joseph Wilson and calling him a liar, I think, is really unfair. We interviewed him, if you recall. He was with us live in Chicago when we were doing the shows from Book Expo. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Ken, in Fort Collins. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150, KNRC.
Good afternoon, Enid.
Hi.
I wanted to talk to the gentleman who doesn't want anybody to know that he has a gun. I have a solution. These people who are so conservative and they don't want people to know they have guns are also in favor of personal responsibility. I think that we should let people own as many guns as they want as long as they're willing to sign a waiver or a responsibility form that they're responsible for any actions taken with that weapon.
That's not enough.
No?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, that would also be...
So they sign a waiver, and they're a mad person, and they shoot up a place, and 50 people die, and so they sign the waiver. Big deal.
Well, you're... I'm on your side on this.
I mean, you could sign all the waivers you want, but
well,
so what?
Well, then, by the same token... registering your auto is extraneous.
Well, but if you would,
the
NRA. Here's an administration that wants to know what you're reading, that wants to go into and if the librarian rats them out and says they've been in trying to find out what you're reading, the librarian goes to the pokey. But but no information about your background on a background check. No information here on the history of some of these. Companies or some of these stores that are selling guns, and some of them quite disreputable. No information. This is the public is prevented from records on guns used in crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not even be able, this information might not even be released in lawsuits against the gun industry. So does that make any sense in a time of terrorism is the question.
Well, I think that if the waiver thing would provide a public record for who owns a gun and who has committed what crimes with a weapon.
The waiver gives you no protection, Ken. I mean, it's a nice little document to wave around, but I don't think it really does the job. I thank you for the call, though. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
You're older, you're wiser, and yep, you can also be a little bit richer. Call 303-299-6000 to learn about the RTD half-price senior discount. RTD. Drive less, save more.
Hey, you're never going to believe this. Capital Access Mortgage just approved Jim and me for a zero-down, interest-only mortgage loan on the purchase price of our new home.
You're kidding. You just filed bankruptcy 2 months ago, and you didn't have to put any money down?
That's right. Capital Access Mortgage dispelled the myth that we'd have to wait 3 years to restart our financial future.
All right, what's the catch? You got to be paying an astronomical interest rate. I mean, what is it, like 12%?
No. Capital Access Mortgage was able to get us an overall blended rate below 7%. I was amazed. Our house payment will be less than we're paying to rent the home we're in now.
Wow. Well, you know, we've never even filed bankruptcy, but the lender our realtor referred us to, he turned us down for a loan. You think that Capital Access Mortgage can help us?
Absolutely. As far as I'm concerned, Capital Access Mortgage works miracles.
Restart your financial future today. Call 303-691-0691. Capital Access Mortgage, 303-691-0691. An outstanding member of the Better Business Bureau.
I went to turn off my computer last night, and a window came up asking if I was sure I wanted to shut down.
Am I sure? How can I be sure about anything when I'm trying to sell my house?
If you're looking to sell your house, Coldwell Banker can ease your mind. Our extensive online exposure means your home gets shown through award-winning local and national websites. Coldwell Banker. Visit coldwellbanker.com.
All offices independently owned and operated, except offices owned and operated by Energy Incorporated.
The odds and ends that live under Dylan's bed come to life in the Arvada Center's children's theater production, The Monster Under the Bed, playing June 15th through July 29th in the Arvada Center's outdoor amphitheater, ideal for children ages 3 and older. This original musical production is the entertaining story of clothes and toys fighting to survive as Dylan cleans his room. For more information or for tickets, call 720-898-7200 or visit www.arvadacenter.com.
AutoTrader.com has the largest selection of used cars in Denver, and comparison tools make it easy to find the one you really want. AutoTrader.com. Your car is waiting.
Talk to Bill O'Reilly.
Liberal people are not Michael Moore. All right, liberal people are not Stuart Smalley. Those aren't liberal people. So we have to define what we're talking about here. Liberal people are basically Americans who see problem solving from a point of view that says we have an obligation to help every American, except the conservatives.
Bill O'Reilly, weekday mornings from 10 till noon on AM 1150 KNIC.
I'm Philip. I work in IT. You think you know me. You think you know what it's like sitting in traffic at I-25 in Hampton with the AC broken and my Doug Kellett show getting walked all over by some punk kid subwoofer.
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNIC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
.58 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 3 o'clock, and then State Senator John Andrews takes over for Doug Kellett. Let's go right to the phones. Brad in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hello.
Hi, Brad.
I'm really glad you alerted me that you're all going to be talking about Clinton next tomorrow, so I don't have to listen to it. Thanks again for alerting us.
Oh, you're very welcome, Brad. There's a guy who stayed on hold for I don't know how long in order to tell me that perky piece of news. Well, I don't know what to do. He's going to be here tomorrow at Tattered Cover, Billy Thorpe is going to be monitoring the situation for us, and he'll be giving us reports. And John Andrews is, who couldn't be more ideologically different from me than he and I couldn't be more ideologically different, is going to be filling in for Doug Kellett. John Andrews, thank you for joining us today. You want to say something and tell us what we're going to be talking about?
Hello, Enid. It's good to be with you. We're going to be talking about people's favorite subjects like the war in Iraq and the presidential race and why Kerry made a big mistake choosing Edwards. And you're not the first one to do that slip of the tongue and call me John Edwards when you mean John Andrews. But I think by the time we're done with Doug's show, people will know the difference.
Okay, I can't wait. I'm sure you're not going to be right about anything, but you better listen to him from 3 to 6. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for your good work. Thank you, Jordan Wiles, for yours. I'll see you all back here tomorrow, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC. You know the drill. Do something generous. Leave the world a better place than you found it. Clean up some mess, and your life will be transformed. And we'll be discussing what John Andrews said tomorrow. We'll also be discussing Bill Clinton. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 3 o'clock.
KNRC News Radio, I'm Rosalind Jordan. Acting CIA Director John McLaughlin says there is no need for a national intelligence czar. It's expected to be one of the key recommendations in the upcoming 9/11 Commission report. And NBC's Lisa Meyer says there's another controversial finding.
The report also reveals that 8 of the hijackers passed through Iran after leaving camps in Afghanistan en route to the United States. But the CIA says there's no evidence the Iranian government knew of the 9/11 plot.
A Marine corporal who disappeared in Iraq says he did not desert his unit. Corporal Wasif Ali Hassoun is undergoing medical evaluation at a Virginia military base. The Navy suspects his videotaped kidnapping might have been a hoax. And just ahead of next week's Democratic National Convention in Boston, there is a new effort to end a 3-year-long contract dispute with the police. There is concern massive picket lines could disrupt the proceedings and jeopardize convention security. I'm Rosalind Jordan, NBC News Radio.
There is no safe cigarette. Cigarette smoking is addictive and causes serious diseases including lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. The only proven way to reduce the health risks of smoking is to quit. At PhilipMorrisUSA.com, you can find this and other information on the serious